If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Well, we're super excited about the tour. This is going to be fantastic.
Hey, Kevin, if the season ended today, you'd be a fag.
And then funk breaks loose all over the place as the 46th Annual Grammy Awards continues right here on CBS.
Shut up, Bean. Shut up, Bean. Shut up, Bean. Shut Bean up. Bean, shut up, you f***ing moron.
This is a message to all American infidels. Prepare to die in a sea of holy fire. You will be punished for your decadent ways on the first day of Radaman. You... wait a minute. Did I just say... What did I say? Radaman? Ramadan. Radaman. What is that? What is... Yeah, maybe Dennis Radaman is going to punish you with his crazy hair. No? What's that? Right. Yeah, no. Okay. All right. Okay, let's go again. And now...
If you could give me a pearl necklace tonight, I really need one.
Our feature presentation.
I gotta tell you, that's why I love The Family Guy. Because they'll do that, and it'll go on for another 3 minutes.
It did.
Just keeps going and keeps going and keeps busting up. And people, he keeps saying, stop making that face, and maybe I should have the rubber chicken, these giant glasses. I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on.
I love it when somebody gets into a fight on that show, and it goes out into the street, and you think, okay, they're fighting for 20 seconds.
Right.
And then it rolls down town, and then it falls off a mountain, and it lands on a boat, and it just keeps going on and on and on forever. If you don't think it's funny, it's excruciating. It's just so long. But if it gets funnier the longer it goes, then you love it.
That's the thing, is that like it's funny and then you get a little annoyed. Right? Because okay, I've seen this.
Not funny anymore.
They hang on to it until you laugh again. They will not let it go.
You say the same reason Kevin likes The Family Guy, it's the same reason he hates Saturday Night Live.
Oh, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Because they take no punchline and then they milk that.
Right. Because Saturday Night Live is starting with something not funny and then making it go 10 minutes.
Making it go way longer than a funny, long Family Guy thing.
Exactly.
Plus, Family Guy does good music.
You have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
I hate to tell you, boy, that you have AIDS.
You got the AIDS.
You may have caught it when you stuck that filthy needle in here.
Or maybe all that unprotected sex put you here.
It isn't clear, but what we're certain of is you have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Sensitive part here.
Be sure that you see that this is not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
I'm sorry, I wish it was something less serious.
You've got the AIDS.
So that's comedy.
Well, if they're going to break it to you, it's not the worst way.
You might as well do it in a happy manner.
Yeah.
You don't have the vasectomy song, do you?
Oh, I can find it, yeah.
If you have that, because that's really...
The best song ever?
That's my favorite, when Peter and Lois have a pregnancy scare, and Lois suggests maybe it's time for him to get snipped so they don't have to worry about bringing any more kids into the world. And Peter's unclear as to what a vasectomy is until the always helpful Barbershop Quartet shows up.
The Barbershop Quartet is the note that someone is going to die. They're always bad news. Always. It doesn't make any difference, whether it's talking about a vasectomy or not. Hang on 1 second. I think I can still find it. And it'll be worth the wait.
It's always a mystery as to what Kevin labels something. Because me, I would have just typed in vasectomy and I'd have it.
A vasectomy's a medical procedure. One that makes you half a man.
You're half a man.
Remember when you twisted up your garden hose? Well, essentially, that is the plan. That is the plan. You make a small incision in the scrotal skin. Isolate the vas and then you hold it in position with a towel clamp. Then you snip the fibrous tissue.
Hey,
you'll never have to wear a condom when you do it with your wife or anyone else you do it with. We promise not to tell, like that new hot chick at work. You know the one who always has high beams under a ribbed white cotton t-shirt, but then stares daggers at you for checking her out. And it's like, why do you wear that if you don't want attention? But you know you shouldn't think that way because of the sexual harassment meeting you all had to go to. Seriously, how lame was that? And you couldn't help but notice that the female lawyer running the seminar had a huge rack. Like, ridiculously huge for someone who has to talk about that kind of stuff. Well, I guess that's the definition of the word irony. Goodbye. Say goodbye to manhood. Goodbye. Say goodbye to babies. Goodbye. Say goodbye to kids like me.
Vacuum out your sack.
Cover it all.
Yep. Informative, and yet it gets to the comedy as well.
And yet entertaining. Very funny. Well done, Family Guy.
Oh, they rule. 5:35. Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, and it is the 18th of January. We have a hell of a show today. Hopefully, we're going to have time to squeeze in the You Guys Suck and Here's Why meeting that we had yesterday.
Oh, my God. At least it was short.
That went on for till about a half hour ago. That was good.
At least it wasn't raining when we left and took hours to get home.
Yeah.
Through the snow.
We had a fight with our boss. He said, let's do it at Gladstone's on the beach. And we were like, well, that's great if you live over there.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't, it takes 10 minutes to get there from the station. And then I said to him, after the meeting, everyone driving home, it's going to take them forever. No. 1, 2 o'clock? No. It's like 3:30 or something.
Yeah, 3:30, right.
And by then it was hailing in areas and raining, and I got back, like I said, about a half hour ago.
Yeah, just about.
So we'll have to try and get to some highlights of that. Plus, I had another personal disaster last night.
Oh, my God.
I'm not good. I'm not good in a lot of ways. So I'll have to tell you about that. Also, we have some American Idol highlights or lowlights, whatever you want to call them.
Yes.
It's the only time I'm interested in the show. And you see the ratings and you just go, this is Super Bowl proportion.
What did we hear yesterday?
37 million. It's crazy. I know that I'm in the tiny minority, but I despise that show. But I do love the really, really bad put together with the really, really confident. It's the same person.
You would have had another great time last night.
Yeah.
Because 20,000 people over two nights, they let in 14.
Oh,
14
wow.
people is what they got out of 20,000.
They had to go listen to 20,000, or do they have somebody to pre-listen to them?
Well, somebody listens to all of them, you know, or a combination of people. But I think, the judges, the ones we see on TV, probably only see, 100, I would imagine.
Right.
You know, and then they do the rest outside. But, what a sad, sad group.
Well, what a sad, sad city. I mean,
this is Seattle, right?
Yeah, seriously, who moves there?
Yeah, Seattle's not famous for musicians, so there's no danger there.
So anyway, American Idol lowlights. We got Sophia Bush in the studio.
Oh!
Wait, no, you can't.
Oh, monkey?
Bean, you can't start making the noise, too.
I'm just thinking about the fact that she's going to be right here.
Yeah, I know.
Lisa's going to be out in the parking lot or something, and Sophia's going to be sitting right in Lisa's chair next to me.
I will happily be in the parking lot if you all are going to make those gross noises.
And so it begins.
I feel sorry for Sophia.
I got to tell you, I love her, as we all do, but it's a little awkward because, I haven't seen her since, the breakup. So,
what breakup?
Well, we didn't technically break up. I just stopped calling her, and it's just going to be a little awkward because now I'm going to have to make some excuse about why I've been busy for a year,
Because she's been calling you back saying, hey, I'm returning your call?
Yeah, well, she keeps calling, and then I don't call her back. That's what I'm saying.
Does she leave a message? Maybe you can play us some messages.
Well, I don't really have access to the machine right now, but I'm saying...
You can't get to that through a phone.
No way to do that.
You can't replay messages on the phone.
It's going to be awkward, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I think she's professional enough, and I'm professional enough, that we'll be able to. No, don't save this day.
We're going to play it when she comes in. We'll check it. We'll just see.
Yeah.
Because maybe that's a good way to break the ice.
Well, she's not going to want to talk about it, though.
Okay.
She likes to keep her personal life personal, and I applaud that.
Right, we'll see. Also on today's show, we got to talk about TV's coverage of the cold. It is freezing, as you know,
yes.
And I'm about to die. But Channel 4 loves this kind of stuff because when there's something like cold, first of all, there's nothing to say about it except for, damn, it's cold.
Right.
I mean, that's it. Everyone has the same but they'll send a reporter out every day, twice, three, four times a day. Go do a story on the cold. Go talk to people about the cold. Go interview people about the cold. How are you going to stay warm? That kind of stuff. It's spectacularly bad.
Going to put on a coat.
Yeah, exactly. So we got some highlights of that coming up, and one of the highlights is our man, Doug Kriegel.
Oh, Doug is the best.
And Doug Kriegel is one breath away from a heart attack and instant death.
Always.
Always.
Yes.
So anyway, we're going to talk about that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, because that's always good fun. If you missed Ralph's visit to the Las Vegas AVN, the Adult Video
News Awards,
Award things. He was there, and he brought a tape recorder, and some of the highlights were spectacular. We had him late in the day yesterday, so if you missed it, or even if you heard it, you're going to want to hear it again. It's coming up just after 6 o'clock. LaQuisha will be on the show today talking about Armed and Famous.
Oh, good.
We had Wee Man on the show yesterday. He was telling us all about being a cop in Muncie, Indiana. Uh-huh. Right? Muncie, Indiana. And so we got that. We got people who just want to be famous. That's their number one on their list.
Which is a part of the reason a lot of those people show up in American Idol.
That's true. Yeah.
Not because they think they can sing, but because, hey, I've seen other people famous because of this show. Why not me?
Everyone deserves their moment of fame. This is mine, and I'm going to claim it. So anyway, we're going to talk about that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We have to talk to Omar because we have a little problem with him. First of all, he's a sleeper cell. That's
We know that.
Problem one. When it's time, we're going to be the first to go.
Sure.
But problem two is that I wouldn't want to be Rachel Ray because for some reason he's got an amazingly unnatural level of hatred for her. Now, you may not have heard of her. I think she's on the Food Network.
She's on the Food Network, which is odd because, I mean, Omar could avoid that so easily.
But then she got a talk show, didn't
yes.
she?
Yes. Yeah. She has a syndicated daytime talk show, but okay. You would think he would never run across that.
Is that work?
Yeah.
I've come across it, you know, maybe once or twice. I don't like her.
Yeah, it's on at like 10 o'clock in the morning or something. Not hard to miss.
I imagine a lot of people in the audience have never heard or seen her. But, you know, he, for some reason, is so focused with the heat of 1,000 suns on her. It's unbelievable how angry he is. And
what does he hate about her?
We'll have to ask him. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. All I know is that there's a box of Wheat Thins that she's on, and every place on the box where her face is a hole. He cut out her face and threw it away.
But I've seen Mike cut holes into
different,
faces.
Different. Very different.
Not the same.
Not the same, no. He just can't stand. He tried to return it first because it had her picture on it, and the guy said, no. So then he cut her picture out. So, I mean, we have a bit of a problem here.
This is what psychos do on TV shows. Yes, they cut out the faces on pictures and stuff.
Yes. Really? You think that's what psychos
scary.
Do?
Scary.
Yeah. And also, don't forget, K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number 3 is Muse in Hong Kong.
Hey!
For some reason, the pan flute is the instrument of choice here, but... We asked them for a little bit more of an upbeat bed, but they won't do it. Tomorrow morning, we're going to do the grand prize drawing. You can qualify to win this trip by seeing Muse April 10th at the Forum.
Yeah, yeah.
So your chance to qualify for that is coming up very soon here on the world-famous K-Rock. And Ralph Showbiz Beat is next.
Well, that looks like Ralph Garman right there putting on the headphones.
Morning,
Ralph.
Nope.
not Ralph?
Not him.
Mm-mm.
All right. I was misinformed.
I'm Steve Garman. His cousin.
If it's Thursday, Ralph's wearing a Green Lantern t-shirt. Yesterday, Wednesday, Batman and Robin. Today, Green Lantern.
Yeah, I'm working my way through the entire pantheon of comic book superheroes.
Fantastic.
Tomorrow, I think either Aquaman or perhaps The Flash.
Ooh, I love The Flash.
Aquaman's just stupid.
Or maybe I'll just go outside the box, man, and go for like Martian Manhunter or, you know, something crazy.
I like that.
Ralph, I almost picked up The Flash on DVD the other day because, you know, the complete series is out on DVD.
The TV series?
Was the series as bad as I remember it?
Yeah.
It was bad, so I don't need it, right?
No.
Okay. Because I love The Flash. He's a great comic book, but my fear is that the series sucked.
I'll send you my copy.
Okay.
You can take it.
All right.
Because I forgot how bad it was until I revisited it.
Because I was like, oh, I love The Flash. But wait, wasn't it bad?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay.
So please enjoy. Maybe I'll send it to Lindsay Lohan instead. She can spend some time in rehab looking at it.
Yay!
According to Us Weekly magazine, the Lohan checked herself into the Wonderland Center in Los Angeles yesterday at 2:30 p.m., arriving in an SUV, sucking on a Jamba Juice.
Okay.
Yeah. Just wanted to give you a moment to let your imagination run wild there.
Yeah.
Through her publicists, she made the following statement. I have made a proactive decision to take care of my personal health. I appreciate your well wishes and ask that you please respect my privacy at this time.
That'll happen.
P.S. I'm not wearing any underwear.
Now, I heard, it's interesting that now it's rehab, because I heard she was getting another appendectomy. That's what I heard.
Getting her second appendix taken out. Sometimes they grow back.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Wow.
According to the New York Post, this may be the incident that jettisoned Lindsay into rehab.
Their gossip column says that she was attending the Prince after party at the Golden Globes until 6 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
And was found passed out in the hotel hallway.
Oh, no.
Really?
People are speculating perhaps that was the last straw. She woke up and said, maybe I need to get a handle on this whole thing.
Wow.
Wow.
So we'll see how the lens does in rehab. Apparently the meetings weren't taking. Remember she was doing the AA meetings.
Right.
That didn't stick.
So now I wonder what she really went to the hospital for instead of an appendectomy.
Maybe it was a liverectomy.
Maybe it was ODectomy.
Yeah. James Brown, the godfather of soul, still not buried.
What? God.
This is almost a month after funeral services for the legend.
Are they still fighting over where to bury him?
Yep. His body's still above ground at his house in South Carolina.
Oh my.
He's in a bronze and gold-plated coffin. His family says he's in a temperature-controlled room, though, so it's okay.
They just left the thermostat on 40 and walked out?
Ooh, it's chilly in there.
That isn't good for you.
Guys, what they do in a lot of situations, not even famous people, is they cremate them and split up the ashes. Half to this family, half to that family, or whatever they want to do with it.
Well, apparently the family wants to, part of the family wants to build a mausoleum.
Right.
And bury him there, perhaps on his own property.
Right.
And some of the other family, I think, wants him to be cremated. Another half has another part of the family has a plot that they would like to put him in. So I'm thinking there's got to be money behind it someplace. Somebody's trying to cash in with a come visit the gravesite of James Brown tour or something.
Interesting.
You know?
Of course there's money behind
it. And people like Bean will show up with their brownies taking pictures.
Hey, if they built a James Brown museum in his little town in Georgia, yeah, hell yeah, I'd go. Anything that has the word museum with it, he'll go.
That's true. The sad part is Tommy Ray, his wife, got nothing when the will was read last week. And so she is suing for 50% of his estate. The problem is she was never legally divorced from her previous marriage.
Oh.
And so the family is not recognizing her marriage to James at all, nor their child that they had together. So.
Oh. They don't even recognize the kid.
No. That's After really
the kid's
cruel.
Like five. They see it every day. They still don't even recognize it.
Gilligan.
That's weird.
Legally, they don't recognize
it. Oh, I see.
Remember I told you Kevin Federline was going to do a McDonald's commercial during the Super Bowl?
Yes.
I stand corrected.
Oh, fantastic.
He's doing a commercial during the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong.
Oh.
But here's where we may have gotten confused. It's for Nationwide Insurance. And the theme of their current campaign is life comes at you fast. Meaning you never know what's going to happen. That's why you need to have plenty of insurance, because you don't know how life's going to throw you a curveball from time to time. So in the commercial, KFED will be surrounded by hot chicks just coming off stage, and in a flash, he ends up working at a fast food restaurant.
Oh, I see.
See, it's the quick decline there, and he needs insurance because you never know what life's going to throw
at
you.
And he's playing along with that?
Apparently, he's spoofing his own image.
Payday.
Yeah, big payday.
Spoofing his own image in order to cash in on the commercial money. So he will be working at a fast food restaurant, a McDonald's-type restaurant, but the commercial itself is not for McDonald's.
When that happens, can we drive through?
I'd love to.
Because that would be fun.
I'd love to know what he's going to be doing in 10 years, Kevin Federline. Where will he be?
That's a good question.
6 feet under.
That show's not even on anymore. There's no way he's going to...
Gilligan.
Dead was my point.
Lots of denials yesterday. Britney Spears people called various tabloids to deny yesterday's story that she was pregnant with a third child.
Thank God. I hope they're telling the truth.
So that means she's definitely pregnant, probably the twins.
Yeah.
Another denial yesterday, Kim Kardashian. Paris Hilton's buddy, the smoking hot daughter of late lawyer Robert Kardashian,
right,
is denying that she and Brandy's brother Ray J are shopping around their internet sex tape. TMZ.com talked to her. She won't deny that such a tape exists.
Oh.
But she is denying that they're trying to sell it, that they're shopping it around.
Well, then someone steal it.
That's what I'm saying. Apparently someone says they've seen it. People in the porn industry said they have screened it, and it includes oral sex, regular sex, and wait for it, world-famous water sports.
Yep. Yes. The thumb, is that in there anywhere?
That doesn't mention the thumb.
Doesn't mention that. No. Yeah.
Shoot. The soggy thumb, I think. The
soggy thumb is in it. Anybody who might have a copy of that might need to somehow get it to us.
Guys, isn't that all along? Is that what you're saying?
They could send us any tape they wanted. I wouldn't recognize either of those people.
You would recognize Kim Kardashian if you saw
would
her.
I?
Yeah. Because okay. I was kind of fuzzy yesterday, too. And I looked at her and said, oh, yeah, I've seen her in many pictures with Paris and Nicole and all that.
I don't really care if she's hot, you know.
Yeah. And you know Ray J.
Well, yeah.
Ray J is the most famous singer in the world right now.
This week, it's starting to feel like it.
It's all Ray J all the time.
There's talk of putting him on Mount Rushmore now.
Right. Here's some audio from that sex tape from Ray J.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
Wow.
Yeah.
Ray J sounds oddly familiar.
He does, doesn't he? One of those voices.
Oh, so sorry I missed out on the Justin Timberlake concert Tuesday night at the Staples Center. Apparently also there was Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, Fergie, Nikki Hilton, Lauren Conrad, and Ryan Cabrera.
Dude.
Wow, that's a... I want to party with that crowd. Jesus, that thing sucked from top to bottom. From the guy who was on stage all the way to who was in the audience. Holy crap.
Did they sell any tickets to the show or just give them all away to that group?
Well, apparently they were just one little row there, but there they were.
Hell of a row.
American Idol, Tuesday night, is premiere.
Yeah.
37.3 million viewers tuned in to see the first episode of the new season. That is the second highest rated episode ever of American Idol, bested only by the Clay Aiken Ruben Studdard finale episode.
They're smart in that they put it on once a year and then let it rest. They're not like a lot of networks. They'll get something that works, like Deal or No Deal, and all of a sudden it's on 52 weeks a year, 3 days a week, and you're like tired of it. But American Idol, it's gone long enough for you to
miss it. Don't
they
do 2 a year? They just do the one.
No, they just do
just
one.
Just do the one, huh?
Yeah. It's not gone long enough for me. It could be gone another couple of years and then come back, maybe.
By the final half hour of the show, it started at 37.3 million.
That was the low point?
By the end of the show, 42 million people were watching.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
What does something like the Super Bowl get?
About that.
I think we're in that ballpark.
In that neighborhood.
Yeah, it's always like the number one show of the year,
right.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's those kind of numbers.
Speaking of American Idol, Paula Abdul was on Ellen DeGeneres yesterday. And she was addressing that rumor that she was loaded when she did that interview on the Seattle Morning Television Show.
Have you seen the footage? Interview. She keeps closing her eyes and her head kind of drops back and she slurs.
Yes.
Clearly loaded.
How dare you, Lisa?
Good morning, everybody!
She can hear us.
So tell us, what are you looking forward to this season?
How about a lot of you coming in? It's a wild party where you are.
That's what we hear.
So she says she wasn't drunk when she was
in that interview. No, how dare you even suggest such a thing?
What was she?
She said that she had two earplugs in, and they were getting different feeds in each ear. She was getting one feed in one ear and a separate feed in the other ear. So the confusion of the different sounds made her feel like she was in her own little world. And that's where the confusion came from. That's why she was acting so odd.
And that's why she kept closing her eyes and her head would drop over?
Yes, Lisa.
She had to concentrate on one side.
Okay.
Paula maintains she takes her job as a role model very seriously. But not as seriously as she takes her liquor.
That's a quote.
Kira Sedgwick picked up the Golden Globe for her role in The Closer, and it's paying off. Hollywood Reporter says that she's getting a new deal to stay on the show. She has become a producer. And will now make about $300,000 an episode.
Wow. Pretty good for cable.
Making her one of the highest paid actresses in all of television, let alone basic cable.
Wow.
So it pays to have a Golden Globe.
She's a talented actress, but I can't get over the fact that she has the Joker's mouth.
Yes.
She kind of does, yeah.
Yeah.
She is my arch nemesis. And some casting news. Gwyneth Paltrow has been added to the cast of the superhero movie Iron Man.
Ooh.
Starring Robert Downey Jr., speaking of comic book superheroes. He plays industrialist Tony Stark, who becomes a superhero when he puts on his armor.
Sure.
And she will play his secretary.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So Gwyneth Paltrow may be in a hit movie. It's a shock, but she might actually be in a movie that makes some money. So
I love Iron Man, and I was going anyway, but now it's a bonus.
Yeah, not for me. For me, her name is just meaningless.
But she's a good actress, though. That's
the
thing.
I just have it doesn't make me want to go to that movie 1% more than
she doesn't strike me as sort of a sexy comic book femme fatale, though.
I agree.
She's not a sexy anything.
A little waifish for that. You're right.
And former pro wrestler and Mummy and Scorpion King star Dwayne The Rock Johnson has a new role. He'll be playing Agent 23 in the upcoming Get Smart movie with Steve Carell.
Awesome.
Steve Carell, of course, plays Maxwell Smart, and Anne Hathaway will be playing Agent 99 opposite him.
Good choice.
Good choice.
She is adorable.
Yeah. You watch any of those Get Smart DVDs I got you for...
I have not yet delved into those. Got a lot of stuff to get through. Right now, I'm trying to get through all of Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
So I can start watching the third season episodes.
Yeah, I'm so far behind in that, too.
So I'm mid-season two right now. Once I knock that out, then I'm going to start opening some other box sets, but... That Battlestar Galactica is a great show, by the way.
That's what they say.
I know Entertainment Weekly and all these other people were saying it, and I was like, eh. And then I start watching. Man,
same
I'm
here.
Just hooked. freaking Edward James Olmos. He's a great actor. Of course, he's playing the same guy he did in Miami Vice, but still.
He can play the hell out of it.
Starbuck, I think we need to go out and get the Cylons down. Everyone get in their Viper. Everyone go out and fight the Cylons.
Exact same.
Commander Diamond, could you speak up, please?
Yes. Apollo, Starbuck, you and get in the Viper, and then you go out and get the Cylons.
You can't accuse him of overacting.
No, you cannot.
You have to call Don Johnson just to get a translation.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Costner, actor and director, is 52 years old today. Jesse L. Martin. He plays Detective Ed Green on Law & Order. He's 38 years old today. Jonathan Davis, our pal from Korn, turns 36. And DJ Quick celebrates his 37th birthday. I don't know, I expected a bigger response than that. Is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, LaQuisha on the phone. How great is that?
LaQuisha, good morning.
Come on, Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
Very good. Another episode of Armed and Famous. Did you hear our interview with Wee Man yesterday?
I did hear some of that.
Oh, so good.
I tell you, I enjoyed the show even more after getting the insightful opinion of the little midget.
Now, for folks who have not heard of Armed and Famous, it's a new CBS television reality show. And what's the premise, LaQuisha?
It's basically cops with famous people.
Real cops, though. Real guns, real bullets.
Yeah, if you took cops that show, bad boys, what you gonna do?
Right.
And you put famous people in there who are actually trained to be police officers, it's basically the same show. It's them arresting losers, and so it's like losers with losers. You don't know who's the biggest loser, the person getting arrested or the poor ex-celebrity who's now doing this for a living.
Yeah, there's not much difference between the guy in the trailer park and Jack Osborne. I mean, either
not
one
much.
Could be on either side of that arrest.
And they go out on the streets at night and try to stop crime, just like on the TV show Cops.
Right.
And sometimes, like Trish Stratus, she's on the show. She's from the WWE. She's right. A female wrestler.
Right.
And she finds a person coming down the wrong way on a one-way street. And that person is intoxicated.
Okay.
And the problem with being a beautiful celebrity cop is that sometimes people don't actually take you seriously.
You're a sexy bitch. You're one sexy bitch.
She just called me a sexy bitch.
I'm hot and bothered. I'm hitting out. And I'm wasted.
You're a sexy bitch. And in the drunk person's defense, she is a sexy bitch.
Well, okay, true. That's accurate.
But still, I don't think that's what you want to hear when you're trying to be a police officer.
Probably not.
And they're in Muncie, Indiana. That's where this all takes place.
Right.
And last night, Eric Estrada, who played Ponch on Chips, him and his partner get a tip, a hot tip, about a crime that's going to happen. And apparently someone's going to try to steal a backhoe from a construction site.
Oh, my God.
Which I think passes for a major crime in Muncie, Indiana. So Ponch and his partner on a stakeout waiting for the person to try to steal the backhoe. And they got the canine units out there. They're going to send a dog after this guy first. And Ponch is trying to figure out exactly what's going to go down with the dogs and the perpetrator and himself. He wants to understand.
Let's, hypothetically, let's say we get there and he's got a gun. Would he send the dog in still?
Probably not.
Probably not. If he starts pointing the gun?
Do what you're trained to do. Just pay attention to where you're at and the other officers that are around you.
All right.
Ponch is going to have to shoot somebody.
You do not want to be Ponch's partner, do you?
No, no.
What do you mean if he points a gun at you, what do you do?
I don't think you want to be Ponch either.
No,
I don't want to be shooting nobody.
He played a California Highway Patrol officer on TV.
Very different than shooting people and people shooting at you.
Oh.
I think at that point, Eric Estrada's like, what the hell I get myself into?
Why couldn't I have been a big brother like everyone else?
And send the dog in, by the way. Dog gets shot. I don't care. Better than me getting shot. Well, the crime of the century does go off, and they capture the perpetrator. Luckily, nobody has to get shot. No shots were fired.
Aww.
But Ponch feels an obligation to try to straighten this guy out because he got bit by the dog. The dog brought him down.
Right.
And Ponch is like, look at all the stuff you're going through just to steal a simple backhoe. This is ridiculous. And you'll hear this fella say, well, I guess I'm just not as fortunate as you. And, oh, no, you didn't. Because then Pacciarelli goes off on his ass.
All this for a machine? I mean,
it's not worth it.
It's not worth his fortune.
Hey, listen, you know where I come from? I was raised on welfare. My dad was a heroin addict. When I was 5 years old, I was selling snow cones on the streets of New York City. You got a choice to do what you want to do with your life. You don't need to end up like this. So don't tell me you got no choice. You got choices in life. You need to make some good choices. You've made some real bad choices with your life, and now you think it's over. It's never over.
Not until you're on a surreal life. Then it's over. You made bad choices. I was on 6 episodes of The Love Boat. I made bad choices. Yeah, I feel bad for these celebrities because they got to do real cop stuff. And they're not. I think they said this will be fun. And then they realized this ain't so fun.
Yeah, but what a loser to try and talk to the guy. Hey, look, you're just stealing a piece of machinery. Like, that's going to help at
He's
that point.
Trying to help the man.
At
Kevin.
That point. Come on.
Then little wee man, the man you had on yesterday, the little midget, Jason Acuna.
He's the best.
He pulls over a drunk driver, and while they're searching the car, they find a 9mm on the guy. And then they find a Ziploc baggie bigger than your head, Kevin, filled with pot.
Bigger than my head?
Yeah.
Wow.
And apparently this guy says he was just doing a favor.
What are you doing with the weed?
Taking to a friend.
So you just pick up marijuana on the street and just deliver it to people?
He's one of my best friends, so...
He's one of my best friends! So I gotta bring him some pot!
Can you hear the wheels turning in Wee Man's head, thinking to himself, how can he somehow get his hands on that bag of weed? Yeah.
Did you hear the driver? It sounds like Kevin in a Las Vegas remote.
Yeah, you're right about that.
He's one of my best friends. I just gotta bring him some pot. Then LaToya Jackson, of course, the eldest daughter of the Jackson family.
Sure.
She gets caught in a domestic battery beef, and she picks up the guy who's beating on his wife. But first, before she leaves, she got some words of advice to give to the wife.
Do not allow this to happen to yourself.
Right.
No, are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that you hear me, because one time, it only takes once, but you never know. He may draw a gun on you, he may hurt you, he may kill you. You never know. So your life is in jeopardy. Well, I'm speaking to you from experience.
This woman's saying, a Jackson's giving me advice on how to run my life. Really? Are you serious?
I'm going to take advice from Michael's sister.
If my father was beating me, then maybe you could give me some advice. Because I know Joe beat up the whole family. But I don't want to hear from LaToya telling me how to straighten my life out.
Yeah.
LaToya's the one who got kidnapped by her own husband and held against her will for all those years, remember?
What does she know about that? Next, Jack Osborne, he's got to hunt down a woman who's got a warrant for drug possession. How ironic.
Yeah.
And he's got to go to a crack den to try to find this woman. And when he comes out, I think it starts to bring back some memories.
Well, that is what we call a typical den. That definitely falls under the category of a party den. I myself have spent many nights in a place like that.
Yeah. Sharon and Ozzy's house.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the worst place he could have been. When they finally find this woman, Jack rides in the back seat with her, and again, as these celebrities apparently need to do, starts giving this woman some life advice.
Excellent.
I want to stop.
If you go to a meeting and you stand up, raise your hand, and go, you know what? Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I need help. People will come to you. And you just got to go back the next day, then the day after that, and the day after that. And I promise you, if you do that for 90 days, your life will be so much better. You just got to give it a chance, and you got to not hang out with your friends you smoke and rock with, or shooting up with, or blowing lines of oxy with.
Where are those friends, by the way, you do that with? I'd like to talk to them, too, if they got any Oxycontin.
Yeah. She had to be thinking, Ozzy's kid is giving me advice on drugs?
He was drooling during that last party, like, Oxycontin, and cocaine.
I'm off at 10 o'clock. Can you hook me up?
When did Jack Osborne become this sort of reasonable, intelligent young man, by the way? Remember him on the Osborne show with the obnoxious little snot-nosed punk he was?
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah.
This guy's also, he's all right now.
Well, he went in and out of rehab before he turned 21, didn't he, LaQuisha?
Well, I guess he got some experience there.
Yep.
Yes. Meanwhile, Ponch is back on the case. He gets called to a bar where a guy claims he got beat up. Turns out the guy's so drunk, that's not really what happened at all.
Nobody touched him.
He went in the bathroom, he fell, he hurt himself, and he was so messed up that he thought that somebody cracked him on the head. Well, actually, nobody did.
The tile jumped up on the bathroom floor and hit him in the back of the head. Now, Punch is trying to deal with this alcoholic. This man obviously is a chronic alcoholic, a horrible, horrible condition he was in when at this bar.
Right.
And Punch trying to give some advice.
For me, the big thought about this particular story is if you're going to drink, drink until you get a nice feeling, a nice buzz. Don't overdrink to where you go into oblivion.
Maybe Punch isn't the person to start giving that advice about substance abuse. Let's leave that to Jack Osborne. Because really, you don't want to say to an alcoholic, just have a couple drinks. Then you feel nice and buzzed. Then stop.
Then stop.
Stop after that.
That's good
two
advice.
Or three drinks and stop, Mr. Alcoholic.
That's easy.
That's brilliant.
Maybe he shouldn't get a job as some sort of treatment operator.
That's the worst advice that's ever been given
just
to anyone.
Until you get a nice buzz going. Then stop, and you won't get your head all bloody. Very simple. And lastly, LaToya gets a call in the middle of the night. A woman goes into labor, and she has a baby in her car.
Oh, no.
But they got to drive her to the birthing center so they can take care of her, make sure, check it out, make sure she's okay and everything. And everything works out fine. And when the daddy shows up, LaToya's there to show him his brand-new baby girl.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how
are
you?
This is your baby. Look at her.
Oh.
Look at the congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, there it is.
Hi, sweetie.
How sweet. I didn't know what you're naming it. What are you going to name her?
We're not sure. I think we're leaning towards Lorna.
Yep. Okay, you got to put LaToya somewhere in there.
Got to put LaToya somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like a white redneck kid from Muncie, Indiana named LaToya to make her popular on the playground at school. I just happen to see there's one Jackson that you can leave your small child with. And it's safe. It's okay, apparently. There's one that you can get away with that.
That is good news.
Next week, good news, though. LaToya goes undercover as a prostitution sting operation.
Oh, excellent.
So LaToya's walking the street as a hooker.
Great. I like it.
Like, that's the first time.
Armed and Famous on CBS on Wednesday nights. That's a fantastic show. Thank you, LaToya.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Afro Line up and running 24 hours a day for your convenience at our entertainment, 323-520-AFRO. Thanks to Jimmy Kimmel for the name. It's the Afro Line. What are people calling about today?
Well, don't feel like you have to call about everything that's going on.
Kevin and Bean, I'm at work right now taking a sh** and listening to a radio station over the loudspeaker. Enjoy.
Yeah, that's oversharing, guys.
Don't need to know that thank you and all, but...
We assume that happens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't need sound effects for it?
No.
Really? We're good with that. No problem. Later this morning, we got to talk to Omar. He has a very unnatural hatred for this chick, Rachel Ray, who's on the Food Channel. She got her own show. You may have seen her. You may not have. She's, to me, she's very low profile, but he's so angry, it's funny as hell.
Omar, you are so right. Rachel Ray is a...
Jeez.
I don't know what she said, but it sounded harsh.
Hello. I just want to call and request some Red Hot Chili Peppers. Hey, they're on right now.
We don't play them very much, so I'm glad you actually happened to be listening the day we did.
This was the week my life ended.
I'm watching American Idol for the first time ever, and they reduced this poor girl to tears. I love this show.
Yeah, it doesn't keep up like that. As soon as the bad singers are gone, it gets awful, and they sing Barry Manilow songs, and ugh.
You're going to be happy to know, Kevin, there were actually people who showed up last night who had never seen American Idol and showed up for the auditions.
Really?
At least there were more of them. At least the host is very heterosexual.
Why is Ryan Seacrest so gay? It's just like when you look at him, it's just, hi, I'm Ryan Gay, and I'm gay, and would you like to be gay with me? Because I'm gay.
Allegedly. Bean has his fans.
Hey, Bean, I was thinking, you should probably change your name to Douche Baxter, and you can live in a big, smelly bag. Hey, I'm Douche Baxter.
And then hoping that you received that message and took the action that he was suggesting.
Hello, my name is Bean, and I'm a douchebag. Douchebag, douchebag, douchebag.
Makes that alarm going off at 4 a.m. worth it, doesn't it?
Psycho Mike is in love with Jared Leto and won't stop making those noises, and that's what this call is about.
Oh, yes, Jared Leto. Oh, yes, Species Spicy Psycho Mike. Oh.
Yeah. And finally, the news that took the world, shocked the world, that nobody saw coming, that Lindsay Lohan went into rehab. And our listeners are very upset.
Lindsay Lohan checked into rehab. Why? Why?
Firecrotch.
Oh.
I say it's disgusting. Go back to your cheap motel. You firecrotch. A stinky beaver.
Time for Ralph Showbizby. Morning, Ralph.
I think we need to get some baked goods together, some cookies, and make a little care package and send it over to Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, yeah. That's
yesterday,
a good idea.
She checked herself into rehab. The Wonderland Center is the name of the rehab. Us Weekly Magazine says she checked in yesterday
the
at
Wonderland
2:30.
Sounds so fun.
Sounds like a theme park, doesn't
yeah,
it?
For kids.
Oh, I can't wait to go on the flume.
The Wonderland.
Hey, my mother-in-law makes some terrific rum balls. Let's send those over.
Bean, you're missing the point. Apparently, her publicist released this statement yesterday. I have made a proactive decision to take care of my personal health as opposed to her public health.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your well wishes and ask that you please respect my privacy at this time.
No.
No. Sorry, no. We just can't do that. We're America. The New York Post says that there may be one incident that made Lindsay realize she needed to get some help. They claim she was partying at Prince's after party after the Golden Globe ceremony, partied till about 6 a.m., and was later found passed out in the hotel hallway.
She's the king of Mexico with money. That's what Lindsay Lohan is.
Which is a scary, scary thought.
That isn't good for you.
Sad news for CSI Miami star David Caruso. He and his wife Margaret are getting divorced. People Magazine says their divorce is finalized, and she picks up $2.7 million in the settlement. They were married for 8 years. After the final negotiations, David Caruso said to his divorce attorney, sir, sir, can I talk to you for a minute, sir?
Did he take his sunglasses off?
He did. He lowered them, just lowered them.
Overacting is a serious condition that affects 3 in 100,000 Americans. If you or someone you know has an overacting problem, call 1-600-OVERACT and get help.
Sir, I'm Horatio Caine.
No, you're not.
No, Horatio Caine. No one's ever been named that.
No,
ever.
And I still love that show.
Oh, sad news. Yesterday I got very excited talking about the Kim Kardashian Ray J sex tape. Oh.
Yes.
Sure. That was supposed to be hitting the public soon.
Mm-hmm.
TMZ.com, our favorite website for entertainment news, says they spoke with Kim Kardashian and she is not denying such a tape exists.
Excellent.
But she is denying that it's on the market for sale. So there was a claim yesterday that she and Ray J were shopping it around trying to make some money off of it, but apparently that's not the case.
I heard that one of Saddam's guards got it on his cell phone, though.
No,
that's going to be released on the internet soon.
Apparently the tape has been viewed by someone, though, because word on the internet is that it contains oral sex, which is a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Sex,
right?
Which is always good. And, of course, the ever-popular water sports.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
That's Ray J.
So you can... Hopefully we'll be able to check that out sometime soon. New relationship for Drew Barrymore. She's already rebounding from a relationship with Fabrizio Moretti.
Dwan,
yeah. Excellent. No, worse.
Worse.
Or better, depending on how you look at it. According to the New York Daily News, after the Golden Globes, Drew Barrymore was seen kissing Bruce Willis.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah. Let's just sit quietly and consider how ridiculous that statement was.
Yeah. And amidst all the American Idol fury, let's not lose sight of Survivor, shall we?
It's really more a furor than it is fury, isn't it?
It's der furor, I think.
Survivor's on?
CBS has just ordered 2 more seasons of Survivor.
Oh,
they announced yesterday.
Oh, wow.
The 15th and 16th editions of the show will be broadcast during 2007 and 2008, starting with Survivor Fiji.
It still gets good ratings. Right?
But serious.
I mean, I don't watch it anymore, but it still gets good ratings.
Last time when they split them up by, what, race lines? And
for the first two episodes,
all those biggest people out there saying that the world's coming to a close. We were interviewing them. Oh, this is the worst idea that's ever been put on TV.
Well, it was bad for CBS. Happened. I know that.
Oh, here it is.
It's not good for New York.
Right.
It's not good for America. And it's not good for the entire world.
See?
And so CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
Speaking of our pal Mark Burnett, Ralph, I know you saw that he's going to be producing the MTV Movie Awards this summer.
I did not see that.
First time he's ever been involved in anything like this, producing a live award show.
What a shame for him.
And he also, what do you guys think about the commercials you've been seeing for his new show with Steven Spielberg, the one where people make movies and send him in? They're trying to find a new director.
Project Marklight?
Yeah, basically. How's that look to y'all?
It's Spielberg and Burnett on the lot, it's called, where you send in your short film as an entry, and then they're going to pick a certain number of people and have them compete for $1 million directing contract.
That sounds
to
great
direct
to me.
A feature film.
Project Greenlight was awesome. I loved that show. Loved that show.
That was a little slow for me.
Yeah.
Because it took you all the way through the process of the script and, you know, making the film and everything. It was sort of more about how to make the film. But I would be more interested to see a competition between directors directing every week and see what they could come up with.
Yeah, that'd
be
it's
more
an interesting, interesting idea.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's Spielberg. Glad he's making some money. Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Costner, actor, director. All right, director. He's 52 years old today. Jesse L. Martin, who plays Detective Ed Gein on Law & Order. He's great on that show.
How was he in Rent, Lisa?
I didn't see him in Rent.
You didn't see the movie version of Rent?
No.
What happened to the Lisa May we know?
I saw it in the theater.
Guys, let's encourage
her.
Let's encourage her. That's good.
I mean, I saw the actual musical. Why would I go see it in
Let's say, Lisa, that's great.
But
I'm glad you didn't see it.
Aren't you the audience for Rent? You and Gay Guys is all they had, right?
I prefer live theater.
Wow.
So you're not going to go see Dreamgirls?
Oh, I did see Dreamgirls.
Oh, I
didn't see it on stage.
Did you see Family Opera?
No.
Chicago?
Yes. But I didn't see that on stage.
So that's the policy. If you've seen the stage show, you're not going to go to the movie.
No.
All right, got it.
I see. DJ Quick turns 37 years old today. And Jonathan Davis, our pal from Korn, is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Where are we going to send Psycho Mike today when Sophia Bush comes in? By the way, because she'll be here like an hour.
So anywhere.
Many choices. So
I
many
need
choices.
Bagels, I
Big
think.
Boy's neighborhood.
What's up in 24 hours?
let's send him to the Bun Boy.
The Bun Boy and Baker.
That's
a fantastic idea. All right.
They have good food there.
Now, maybe too treacherous for him to go out because you know how crazy and unpredictable that Los Angeles weather can be. It's almost impossible to get around out there.
I really love it when it gets cold. Here and by cold, of course, we mean 40s and 50s.
Apparently won't allow you to use the word freezing unless it's actually 32 degrees.
Well, that's what
I've heard.
You can't be 45 and say you're freezing.
Yes.
You just can't.
No, the freezing isn't literal. It's like you say it's hot as hell. There's not nobody's measuring hell.
But if I come in and say, oh man, I am freezing, I can't say that until my blood is actually turning into crystals
of ice.
I'm
saying you're not freezing at 45.
Who are you to say who's freezing?
You
and who's
know
not
it's
freezing?
Not literal, right? People don't mean
that
literally.
That's what I'm saying. I do understand.
So why don't you crawl out of our collective asses and leave us alone?
I'm just saying it's just hype to say it's freezing at 45. It's just crazy
it's just
hype.
Me you know saying I'm uncomfortable with how cold it is. That's all it is.
But you know how the news is here, guys. You know how they are. You know how they beat the drums of drama because
there was snow in Westwood yesterday.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
I know. Look, I understand why they covered the snow the way they did because that's a freak occurrence. It's 20 years since they had snow in Malibu Hills and stuff. Yeah, that's a legitimate story. But this past week, they've just been falling over themselves.
Oh, sure.
But how can people possibly survive this intense storm?
It's been spectacular. The first clip that I have of local news is there's video, and you can see dogs that are just playing, just having the greatest time out there in the snow. They're really, really enjoying themselves.
Mike Littleton didn't expect to spend his day off shoveling snow. His husky dog didn't quite know what to make of the chilly snow coating the lawn.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of it.
It wasn't sitting there.
Breakdown.
It wasn't like tilting its head, looking at it, going, what is this?
Husky needs therapy now.
He's having a great
time.
Can't
wrap its little doggy mind around the whole concept.
So then another reporter decides that she needs to give people advice on how to take care of their pets, and then she brings in an expert to give people advice on how to take care of their pets.
And don't forget your pets. If you're uncomfortable outside, it's likely they are too.
And if they're romping around and seeming to enjoy it, then that's one thing. If they're sitting on the porch shivering, they probably are cold and they probably need to come inside.
I don't
get that at all.
I see. That's weird.
Sense.
Here's a tip about what you as a human being should be paying attention to.
And here are a few more cold weather tips. Avoid alcohol and caffeine. They cause your body to lose heat more quickly. And don't ignore shivering. That's your body's way of telling you that it's losing heat.
Wait.
Why would I ignore
so
you're
you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Don't mind me.
Wait, I'm shivering.
Like,
what does it mean?
No.
I'm shivering, but I don't realize that that's a sign of coldness.
In summertime, don't ignore sweat. Go inside to the air conditioning.
Here's a montage of the local news, putting the microphone in front of people to let them say just how cold it is.
Oh, my God, it's ferociously cold. Cold, cold, cold.
It's freezing. It's freezing. I don't know what the temperature is, but it's freezing.
How cold is it?
It's freaking cold right now.
Well, there you go. You got that. That's good news.
Hold on. A reporter walked up to someone on the street and asked him, how cold is it?
Yeah. Right. And shouldn't that person have said, I don't know, you tell me. You're the reporter.
You're the guy who works for the station with the Doppler radar.
Can we throw it back to Mark Thompson in the studio at this point?
By the way, and pipes aren't the only thing that are breaking. Oh. I love these kind of stories because then they go into the health risks that people have.
Pipes aren't the only thing breaking under these icy conditions. So are people's bones.
So she cut.
No.
So she cut, yeah. Now she cuts to, I think, a doctor in the emergency room who's describing what can happen when a stretch of road that you normally go on is slippery. How does that happen?
They're walking over ground that they've walked on for maybe years and years, and all of a sudden the ground is not just wet, but it's frozen.
Oh, I see how that works.
Ice is slippery.
It's frozen.
That's not fair. Pipes are the only thing breaking. People's bones are. That gives you the idea that if you're sleeping at night and you get cold, your bones are just shattering. Yeah. And you wake up in the morning and you're just shattered.
But my favorite reporter by far is Doug Kriegel.
Yes!
Strokey. Doug Kriegel is 1 second away. He's going to have a massive stroke / heart attack / some type of instantaneous death.
He's got an aneurysm just waiting to pop.
He really does.
He does bring enthusiasm to every story. That's the great thing about him.
He's so out of breath. He always sounds like he just ran a marathon. And here he's showing off the fact that he knows Espanol.
Oh.
He is bilingual. And he's at an orchard in Moore Park, and he's talking to some guys who have come from Mexico in their native tongue. Doug Kriegel.
Well, most are excited to hurry up and bid this cold spell adieu.
Is the next clip.
They're now fearing their gas and electric bill.
Okay, so that was the rest of the first clip. Sorry. Okay. Here's Doug Kriegel. Okay.
The men working this orchard in Moore Park have picked avocados in Mexico.
¿Está frío?
Mucho.
Mucho frío.
Sí, bastante.
Right, mucho frío. Severe cold expected.
There you go.
Mucho frío.
Thanks, Doug.
Yo tengo tamales.
How does he know the word frío? How does he do it? I mean, he's so fluent.
Sí, mucho tequila. Mas borracho.
He must practice that every day to use it that fluently.
The men working this orchard in Moore Park have picked avocados in Mexico.
¿Está frío?
Mucho.
Mucho frío.
Sí, bastante.
Right, mucho frío. Right. Severe cold expected.
Yes. Mucho frío.
Emigraciones. Vámonos, amigos.
¿Dónde están los papeles?
Se puede.
He's the best. We're going to have highlights from last night's American Idol, night number 2 of the 2006 season 6, coming up next hour here on K-Rock, and a little over an hour from right now. And one of the fantastic things about AI this year and every year is the people who go, not because they can sing, but because they have seen other people become household names on the show. And they say, well, if Clay Aiken can be famous, I can be famous.
Well, that's the only good part about American Idol. Then when it gets down to the actual singers, it sucks ass because they're singing Barry Manilow songs.
And they're, you know, they're delusional and they're crazy because they have this quest for fame that is so burning within them that they will be satisfied with nothing else. I mean, these people you look at and you get the impression, and it's not just on American Idol, it's lots of people, but you get the impression that they could have a good job and be healthy and have a successful relationship and have their parents both be alive.
Right.
And none of that would matter because that's not the goal. The goal is being famous.
There's a company that did a telephone survey called Pew. They did a telephone survey of 579 people who were between the ages of 18 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
They're called the Millennium, Millennium Generation, or right. Generation Y. They've been, if you were born after 1980, you're a part of that generation. So they interviewed them and they said, what's the most important thing in the world to you? The single biggest goal that you have in life. Number one, fame.
No kidding.
Yeah, not even rich, which surprised me.
Yeah, rich is way better than fame.
Because
yeah.
I can totally understand rich because you can do what you want, nobody can tell you what to do, all that kind of stuff. But I think fame kind of
you get that. You get stuff for free. You don't need to have money or whatever. I don't know why, but they say fame is the single most important thing in their lives.
Well, and there's so many ways now to get famous. Like if you have some really interesting video on YouTube, and
exactly.
People start watching it, and all of a sudden everybody knows who you are, and you end up on Letterman. Or
Jimmy Kimmel last night had the woman. I don't know if you've seen this clip on YouTube, but she falls through a hole in the floor in a restaurant or some kind of some kind of establishment. She takes a step, and the ground literally opens up. She falls.
Oh my.
He had her on the show last night. And she was, of course, nobody.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're so right about the YouTube. Like Lonely Girl 15. I mean, she's the one who's on covers of magazines. She's got fan clubs. You can do anything she wants to right now. And she's just an actress who put videos up online. But I think part of it is there are so many of these reality shows is that, you know, you see somebody who was on Survivor 8 seasons ago, like Rob and Amber, who are living, they're on red carpets and living the celebrity life. And
or Big Brother.
They're guests on television shows and they get free stuff and they have publicists and they have people that do their hair and
makeup.
But at
least they actually won the game. What about someone like Christine Cavallari?
Yes.
Is that her name?
Yes.
She didn't do anything. She was just on Laguna Beach.
She find me the Laguna Beach clip. This is the best piece of tape we've ever had. How dare you?
She was just a kid. Who lived in a city?
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
Come on.
But I think Lisa breaks her up.
She should be famous.
She deserves fame.
Because what has she done to be famous? Yet she's
less than
super
Rob.
Famous.
Hot and stupid.
Less than Boston Rob.
You mentioned that Pew survey of 18 to 24-year-olds. Ralph found a great survey that was done last month for Kids Day, I guess, which is some big international children's celebration. And they interviewed kids under 10. Now, it's interesting to see what an 8-year-old thinks.
Right.
And the question that they asked, that they put to him is, what is, let me make sure I get it right, quote, the very best thing in the world. That's it.
So ice cream has to be the answer.
The very best thing in the world. These are kids under 10, okay? Right. Number one, being a celebrity is the very best thing in the world.
Oh my God.
Number two, good looks.
Wow.
Because that way you can be a celebrity.
And by the way, these are like 8-year-olds that are thinking about good looks. I mean, that's kind of scary, right? Number three, being rich.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's money, for God's sakes?
But they're only 8.
I don't care.
They shouldn't even have a concept of what money is at 8.
Shouldn't it be the best thing in the world is getting to stay up late?
Yeah.
Daddy
goes out and doesn't lock up the porn? I mean, come on. All right, so being a celebrity, good looks, being rich. Number four. Ladies and gentlemen, being healthy is fourth.
I don't think you
have no concept of health.
Right. I think if you're healthy, you don't have any concept
about
of what a gift it is.
Yeah, because that's just how it is.
Right.
Number five, pop music.
Wow.
But I think the point is, and I want to, before we take a break, and we are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. The point is, there are people like that kid on American Idol 2 nights ago, and I think we had a clip, who... This was his backstop. This was his last-ditch effort because he knew he wanted to be famous, and American Idol is the way he was going to achieve that goal, talent be damned. And when it didn't happen for him because he sucked, he has a meltdown. He falls apart.
And we're going to take your calls if fame is your number one goal at 1-800-520-1067. Here's the kid.
Them. Oh. Those son of a cut me off. They said I couldn't sing. They said I was perfect for juggling, could dance. Paula, oh my gosh, she was just so rude. In her face from me, I could tell they hated me.
It's okay.
They were on the guy I tried to fight back and everything. They've been so insulted in my life. They said, I sum up Minneapolis. They say Minneapolis had no talent because of me.
No way.
Jason, you're 16
years
old.
Jason, you're 16, you got a lot.
16 years old, I wanted to start out famous. They blew me up.
You'll be famous. You're going to be famous. You are, okay?
16-year-old, I wanted to start out famous. He wants to begin famous. He doesn't even want to build to famous.
He doesn't even want to work for it.
He just wants to step into the shoes of famous.
Thank God his mom puts his feet on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Oh, you'll be famous. You'll be famous. Yeah, for being a douche. For being a big crybaby loser.
Did you hear him sob?
Yes,
oh
I would have slapped him. I'm a bad parent, apparently. I would have slapped him and said, shut up.
We're going to try hard not to make fun of you when you call. But
no,
I know that there are people out there, especially in this town, whose career plan, when they think about where they want to be down the road, when they've quote-unquote made it, whatever your definition is of that, is to be famous. That's your plan, is to be famous. It's not, I love acting, so I want to act. It's not, I have a musical gift, so I'm going to pursue that. It's, I want to be famous. Fame is the goal, no matter how you have to get there. That's the kind of who we want to hear from right now, and we'll try to talk you out of it.
Sure. Especially, by the way, porn. If you're into porn and you want to be famous for that, go ahead and give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Wow, these calls are so good already. We'll take a dude. The guy hung up who deserves to be famous.
No, deserves to be rich. That's why he needs to be famous, because he deserves to be rich.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We were talking about some surveys about how the number one goal of people is to be famous, and we find that a bit silly, to be honest. I can see that.
What do they think of people like Harrison Ford, who hates being famous? Guy like that who got into acting because he wanted to act and hates being famous and lives in freaking Wyoming. Does everything he can to stay out of town.
It's wasted on him. It's wasted. He should have to give it up so somebody else could have it.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Sophia Bush coming up after the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Let's, where do you want to start? You want to start with Jennifer?
Are you trying to scare her out away?
What?
Is that your goal?
Because he will.
I love aspiring models. Let's talk to Jennifer and see what's up with her in Costa Mesa. Hey, Jen, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you guys?
Good.
Well, very well. So you, your number one goal, according to Dave, the King of Mexico, is to be famous. Really?
Yes, I know it's a stretch. I don't have too much of an outgoing perspective on thinking that it might actually happen, but I'm working towards it now.
Okay. Why is it important to you to be famous? What is the draw for you?
Honestly, the fame, the money, but most importantly, I think I was teased in high school, and it's kind of like always been my goal since then to kind of show them and be like, you know, here's me, I can do this, I can act, I can sing, I can model.
And then you're going to someday face them again and go, ha!
Exactly.
How you like me now?
10-year high school reunion, that's what you're counting down to, right?
Exactly.
Jennifer, do you enjoy modeling?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I would prefer acting, though, because then I get to show talent. I'm blonde and I'm not stupid, and it's hard going out for auditions because they look at me as that role, you know?
Do you think if you, there are very few girls who go into modeling who are able to make a living at it, but do you think if you got a job as a successful, you know, you're a print model or whatever, do you think you'd be happy with that, or do you think it's not going to be satisfying to you unless you actually become a household name?
Yeah, pretty much. Either that or, you know, modeling is hard, and it's not something that every company can just pick you.
You don't have to tell me. It's rough.
It's also short-lived. I mean, you can't be a model in your 40s, so if you could just be a working actress, but not a household name, would that be okay?
But not a household name.
Not a household name.
Not famous, but
a steady working actress.
Yeah.
Yes, if I was a steady working actress, I would be even happy with that.
Liar!
I don't necessarily need to be famous, but I would want to work towards it.
Okay.
All right, well, as long as you're realistic, and it sounds like you are, and not crushed if the fame part doesn't happen. I mean, if you're lucky enough to make a living in show business, if that's what you love, then you're way ahead of the game of 90% of the people go into it.
Yeah. I'm trying to stay focused.
Okay, send us some photos of your boobs. Thanks for calling, Jennifer.
No problem.
See you later. Because we can help make you famous.
Help make her famous.
Right,
is what I'm saying. Let's talk to Sean in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
Hey,
Sean. You want to be famous?
I do want to be famous. I want to be a rock star. I actually want my band to be on K-Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we may be talking about two different things here, because I can completely understand, and we've all known people like this, who music is their life, and they're miserable if they're not in music, and that's why they want to do that for a living. I can understand that, if that's the passion.
Right.
But is it to be famous? Is that really what it's all about? Is that why you pursue the music the way you do?
You know what? That's definitely, I would have to say, is almost as equal as how much I love playing music.
How about that?
Being famous. All right.
Be honest, though, Sean. It's the chicks. Be honest. You look at rock stars and you go, oh, my God.
Yes.
Single man. Who doesn't want a free range like that, right?
Yeah. You look at Marilyn Manson and you go, he got Dita Von Teese.
Yeah, because he's a sexy man. So I can understand that.
All right.
Will you be crushed if it doesn't happen for you, if you have to end up, you know, selling copiers?
No. I won't be crushed, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to be working for Orkin for the rest of my life, so I'll be damned if it doesn't.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck to you, Sean. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call.
Let's go to Cindy in La Puente, because her whole life she's dreamed of being famous.
Hi, Cindy.
Kevin and Bean.
Hi. You, number one, famous.
Yeah, that was a big thing since I was a little girl. I had a cousin who was into acting, and she started getting into, commercials for Best Buy and those electronic stores.
If you could be in a commercial for Best Buy.
You've made it.
Best Buy?
Yeah.
You've made it.
No, it wasn't so much that. It was just, just seeing her on TV and seeing the joy it brought to her. It started coming to me, and I wanted it so bad as she, I've seen her try so bad, but I was always a little overweight when I was smaller.
Right.
So, she was a size zero since she was really,
Well, she's better than you. I mean, you have to accept that she is a better person than you are.
Hey.
I don't think that's where we're going with this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's not where we're going with this at all.
So what are you doing to try to become famous, and how's it working out for you?
Oh, well, I've gone to a lot of auditioning. I've gone to, John Robert Powers School, and I've spent a lot of money, but it is definitely something very hard to try to get into if you don't have a certain image.
Well, the problem is that there are millions of people that want to do it full-time and make a living at
right.
it, really. And there's so few that actually make it to the top. Yeah. So few.
Right.
So at some point, Cindy, what I'm saying is you're going to have to come to grips with the fact that, you're going to be selling insurance.
You know, it's not unlike playing professional sports. I mean,
exactly.
What little kid hasn't said, I want to play in the NFL or the NBA or the MLB or whatever your sport is? And the percentage of people, even who are stars in college, that make it to the professional level is tiny.
Yeah.
It really is. It's almost an impossible
But
hurdle.
The payoff is so big that everybody
right.
wants to do it. That's what they want to do.
Is your backup plan, Cindy, if you can't become famous, just to marry rich?
No, never. I would never do that. Actually, I'm not just blindingly looking at that. I'm actually going to school, college, and everything. I'm almost going to get my degree in science and biology. So, I'm not just looking.
You mean you're just about to, or you're going to stop when you almost get it?
Well, no. I'll hopefully be graduating this summer.
Okay. Hey, good luck to you, Cindy. Thanks for calling. You know, our pal Sophia Bush will be here in a few minutes from One Tree Hill and the new movie The Hitcher dropped out, as I understand, dropped out of USC after 3 years because acting was working for her,
Yeah.
She made the right call.
She did make the right call.
Not everybody does. She made the right call.
Let's try one more. Let's go to Brendan, 24, from Long Beach. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, guys.
Have to be famous. That's the number one goal.
Oh, yeah.
Not healthy, not rich, not successful, not satisfied, but famous.
Well, obviously, I want to have a long life, but I want to be president of the United States someday.
Oh.
So, do you want to go into politics?
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Great follow-up question, Lisa.
I'm not understanding what he's going to do.
There are easier ways to become famous than running for president.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Brendan, are you using becoming famous as a platform to run for president? So actually being president is the goal?
Being president is the goal. Because, yeah. If you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, you look at Ronald Reagan, guys who have gone into politics, they had the background of being famous. They were in acting. They were very successful in their acting careers.
You know what you should do, Brendan, is you should be the child of a president. Because that would be a fast track. You could get there easier.
No.
Right?
Well, those are two examples, only one of whom became president, and out of all of the presidents we've had.
Yeah, that's true. I think what Lisa's suggesting is maybe going into politics would be better than going into trying to become famous. Like, maybe you ought to start by, when you get old enough, running for Congress.
Well, the more people that know you, the better the chance that they're going
to
vote.
What are you doing to be famous before you can finally run for whatever it is you're going to run for? Acting?
I'm going to run for mayor eventually of Long Beach.
All right. What are you doing until then? Do you want to act to become famous first?
No. I just want to get my face out there.
I think he has really good double talk, and he would make a great politician.
I know.
I don't know what the hell he's saying.
He does have communication skill problems, that's for sure.
He does.
All right. Well, listen, good luck with that, because you've laid out a well-thought-out plan, and I can't see any route but success for you, Brendan.
Well, let me say this.
Who wouldn't vote for you?
I sure would.
That's what we're saying.
Okay, 7:54 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the ace of cakes, Ralph.
It's the bad boy of baking.
Way more than cooking.
I'm sorry, did you say the bad boy of baking?
Ace of cakes, mother ever?
Really?
I don't know.
7:54. Because when I was a kid, I wanted to be the bad boy of baking.
Well, that's
only if I could
apparently.
Be famous.
That's right. Time for traffic. Here's Lisa Bay.
The update is brought to you by Acapulco Restaurants, South 405 at Sherman Way in the Valley. Two car wreck reported in the number 2 lane on the 10, the San Bernardino Freeway westbound before the 605, a collision in the fast lane. On the 91.
91 eastbound at Kramer Glissell. The left lane of the off-ramp is still closed because of an accident with a big rig. Traffic on the East 91 remains slow from Magnolia. South 55, busy from Catella down to Chapman. Crash there off to the right shoulder. Mostly sunny, highs today in the mid-60s. Jumpstart your week at Acapulco Restaurants with Margarita Mondays. Cuervo Goldhouse Margaritas, only $2.25 every Monday until 10. Grab your amigos for a fiesta at Acapulco Restaurants.
Wow, you make it come to life.
Está frío.
I am south of the border right now.
Está frío.
Okay, Roger.
Very cold.
Thank you, Lisa. Sophia Bush coming into the studio just after the top of the hour.
Where is she? Why is she not here yet?
Because of him making noises. That's why.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
She turned around. She's going home.
Trying to decide whether to come in or not.
We got
to
get that splash guard installed in this studio, guys, when Mike starts getting worked up, you know.
The Hitcher starting tomorrow. She's going to be in our studios, hopefully, just after the top of the hour. Right now, it is time for Ralph's Showbiz Beat.
Lindsay Lohan's in rehab. What took her so long, I wonder? 20-year-old actress went in yesterday at 2:30 p.m., according to Us Weekly magazine. The name of the center? The Wonderland Center.
Oh.
Doesn't sound like a place where you sweat and scream and curse going through detox at all, does it?
No.
Sounds like a wonderland. they hit you with a magic wand and suddenly you're sober. They sprinkle fairy dust in your oatmeal and suddenly you don't crave drugs or alcohol anymore.
All right.
It's the Wonderland Center.
That's the worst name center ever.
Her publicist released the following statement that apparently Lindsay wrote herself. I have made a proactive decision to take care of my personal health. I appreciate your well wishes and ask that you please respect my privacy at this time. How proactive is she really? When they're saying that the reason she checked herself into the rehab was because she was partying at Prince's party after the Golden Globes till 6 a.m. and was found passed out in a hotel hallway.
Oh, wow. Sounds sexy.
Is that being proactive, or do you think that's more reactive?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Proactive is like, wow, I've been really tipping the cocktails back lately. I think I should, get some help. Not, I'm in a hotel.
The sun is so bright. When did that come up?
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
Actor Paul Sorvino. Are you familiar with actor Paul Sorvino?
Of course.
Great. Legendary character actor. He's been working his whole damn life. A very, very talented guy. You probably know him best as Paulie from Goodfellas. He played the head of the crime family in Goodfellas.
Right.
Big portly Italian
Giant
dude.
Head.
Yeah, exactly. Sorvino's dad.
Exactly. He's got another daughter named Amanda. And apparently recently, situation with his daughter Amanda kicked him into high gear when it comes to being sort of the mafiosa character he plays in the movies.
Oh.
His daughter, Amanda, was being threatened by her boyfriend, who said he was going to kill her.
Oh, my God.
Amanda locks herself in the bathroom, calls the police, and calls Daddy. Guess who got there first?
Uh-oh. I'm guessing Daddy.
Daddy shows up and pulls a gun on the dude.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Held him at gunpoint until cops arrived.
See how they come at black people?
Good for him.
Amanda now has a restraining order, and probably the ex has a clue. They probably won't be bothering
so her. So Paul Sorvino went over to explain it to him.
Yeah, explain a few things to him. Forget about it.
All right.
And Gisele Bündchen may have a new boyfriend.
Oh.
TMZ.com.
Are you cheating on Sophia Bush already?
Yeah.
She's not even here yet.
TMZ.com reports that Gisele, who, let's take a look at her dating resume, shall we? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Uh-huh. Check.
Surfer Kelly Slater.
Check. Right.
Josh Hartnett.
Check. Yeah.
According to TMZ.com, she's added Tom Brady to the roster.
Oh.
New England Patriot quarterback Tom Brady.
Well,
he's a homo.
No?
Exactly. No. My point exactly. What's she doing with that mo? That's what we're all wondering to
he
ourselves.
He is the comeback king.
I hate him.
Really?
So much.
He's so good, though.
Pizza comeback.
He's like, I'm all male, all American boy.
Shut up. Well, he has won some Super Bowls.
Freaking
I mean,
robot.
The guy has
he's
the talent.
He's not even a person. He's a machine.
He has the talent.
Not even real. He's some sort of hologram. Gwyneth Paltrow has just added to the cast of the superhero movie Iron Man.
Oh.
Robert Downey Jr. will play the titular character of Iron Man. Every time I say that, I get that from you people.
Well, you should know better then.
It's being directed by our friend, that guy.
Jon Favreau, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
He's directing the movie.
Our friend, that guy.
Hey, I didn't have much to go on. I'd like
How
some props.
How did you guess that?
That was impressive.
We knew he was directing the movie. I said he was directing it. That's pretty specific, don't you think?
Yeah, you knew that ahead of time. It was not some kind of mind meld.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, give me props. I knew the director of a movie.
I'm just saying that I'm surprised I remembered
I don't think
that.
Our friend was the clue. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Is directing Iron Man?
I think that was the clue.
Okay. Okay, I'm very much looking forward to this film, even more now that you're telling me that my sweet Gwynny is going to be in.
Gwyneth Paltrow will play Stark, Tony Stark's secretary. That's the guy who becomes Iron Man.
Did you just say my sweet Gwynny?
I did.
He did.
Yeah. So she'll be destroying that film next year. We can take
a look.
Good times. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson has a new role as well. He's playing Agent 23 in the upcoming Get Smart movie, which I think is going to be hilarious, just given that Steve Carell is playing Maxwell Smart.
Nah.
Anne Hathaway, the delicious Anne Hathaway, is playing Agent 99. And someone emailed me, told me that Terrence Stamp is playing the villain in the piece. Remember General Zod from the Superman
yes.
movies?
Kneel before Zod.
Sure. Great actor. He's playing the bad guy in it, so should be good.
What was that? It was an old TV show. What was he? Was he a police officer, an undercover officer? What was he?
Yeah, Maxwell Smart?
Yeah.
He was an agent with control.
So he was like an undercover...
He was like a secret agent.
Like a CIA guy.
Like an FBI CIA guy.
He was like an American James Bond type guy.
I gotcha.
That's what it was a spoof of, those James Bond movies. And Control battled Chaos. That was the evil organization.
That's right. They named it Chaos.
Yeah, that was the name of the organization, was Chaos.
Now,
and they're all anagrams. They stood for something, but I can't remember anymore.
Get Smart. Most of that cast is dead, right? The Chief is dead. Ed Platt is dead. Don Adams is dead, right?
Barbara Feldman still is.
She's still alive. 99
yeah.
still alive?
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder if we'll see her in the movie.
Probably not.
She's probably pretty old now. Yeah. Probably 99 now.
Hey, yeah. What the? Hi.
John Favreau.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Costner, actor, director. And I'll tell you, you want to hear a British accent? Rent Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It's like taking a class.
Yes.
I am Robin Hood. I will steal from the rich.
At least it didn't come and go. At least
no, it's constant. 52 years old today.
He had like a southern accent for half of it.
Jesse L. Martin, Detective Ed Green on Law & Order is 38 years old today. DJ Quick, the rapper, is 37. And Jonathan Davis, lead singer, of course, of Korn, is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, I have suffered in this job for many, many years to get to this point. Today is the day that finally makes working on the Kevin Abid Show worth it, ladies and gentlemen. From the new film, The Hitcher, Sophia Bush in the studio. So welcome to this garage.
Good morning,
that's what
guys.
I'm talking about. How are you, my dear?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
So, if you're, you know, like me and you plan to follow Sophia Bush everywhere for the rest of your life, please pick up this morning's Los Angeles Times as we find out every minute of your weekend.
If you're a stalker?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
That's the I do for the weekend?
Yes. That's my ideal, you know, dream weekend if I had time to cram in everything I wanted to do. Generally, I'm trying to sleep off a long work week
sure.
at the show.
So. That's what people don't know, by the way, is how much work television is, right?
Yeah, how many hours. When people find out that sometimes we work 18 hours a day, they can't believe it.
When I'm hungover, I say sleep off a long work week, too, just so you know.
Really?
I'm saying that's what I use as code.
I have.
I would just say I was hungover.
Okay. All right.
We have a bunch of stuff we need to talk to you about, but I do want to bring up just one thing in this piece in the paper today, because we're big animal lovers here. You have a one-eyed pit bull.
Yes, I do. His name is Patch, and he is the love of my life.
Tell me about Patch, and how'd you shoot his eye out, Sophia? What kind of mishap was going on there with bows and arrows?
What's actually interesting is a good friend of mine got Patch from a rescue center and had him for about a year and a half and was moving and couldn't keep him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always loved Patch, so Patch came to live with me, and it's odd. It's just the two of us. He's like my kid.
Do you have, like, decorator patches and stuff like that you put on him?
No, although one year I did dress him up as a pirate for Halloween.
Yeah. Perfect.
But I mean, I just felt so bad. He looked so pitiful in his little, you know, like skull.
Sly patch.
Yeah.
Which eye is missing?
It is, when you're looking at him, it is the left eye.
And what happened to him?
He was a really, really badly abused dog.
Oh,
and
that breaks my heart.
Yeah, it's really hard, I think, especially because, you know, pit bulls tend to get a bad rap.
Yeah.
But it's not the dog. It's the owners who beat them half to death and starve them and do things that makes me want to shoot the owners in the face. So
boy, did that dog win the lottery, by the way.
No kidding.
Boy, did that dog go from bad situation to I'm living with Sophia Bush.
And he gets to sleep in the bed every night.
That's what I'm talking about.
You think he knows? Do you think as a dog he knows?
I think he.
Definitely.
I think he's going to sleep smiling every single night at how his fortune has changed. He was in the right place at the right time. So, all right. So, big weekend for you. Now, you've of course been in films before. We saw you in John Tucker Must Die and some other stuff. But this seems like a whole new level. This Hitcher.
Yeah. This.
You be starring.
This is a whole new thing for me, and it's very exciting. You know, I read the script and just kind of flipped out that it was an opportunity for me, because it's some amazing stuff to get to do emotionally. You know, test yourself. See if you can be totally freaked out and hysterical and traumatized every day, all day for a couple of months. And on top of it, it was really tiring. But at the end of the day, it's like I'd go home, you know, half beaten to death and so happy. But, you know, my inner stunt junkie, you know, my tomboy side really got fulfilled.
Right.
Fucking cars and blowing them up and toting guns in the desert. I was like, yeah, this is pretty sweet.
Do you get to shoot? You get to shoot a gun?
Yeah, I do. And it's pretty fun for me because I've been shooting since I was little. So I got on set and we were working some things out. And, our producers looked at me and were like, Sophia, you hold a gun like a cop. And I was like, right. I need to know. I need to look like I don't know what I'm doing. Right. Okay, hold on.
That's funny.
Yeah, because it's just instinctual for me. So it was weird.
How does a girl growing up in Pasadena, by the way, Sophia Bush, former homecoming, what was it, Rose Parade? Tournament of Roses Parade,
yes,
Queen, right?
I spent a year in service of philanthropies in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does that person end up being comfortable with a weapon? I mean, what circumstances were going on in Pasadena in the 80s that I don't know about that you need to pack heat?
No, when I was a little kid, I was going away to summer camp every year. And, you know,
it was a rough crowd?
No.
Was summer camp in South Central?
I was actually going up in the mountains, and one of the things that you get to do is riflery, and I got really into it and came home, you know, talking about guns, and my parents were kind of freaked out, and then they realized when I started like pulling out all my riflery awards I was serious. So my dad and I started going to the shooting range together when I was 12.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Is it possible one of those bullets you shot up in the air is what happened to Patch? Do you ever think about that?
I don't think so. You always want to aim for your target straight ahead, never up in the air, never behind you.
Boy, tell that to the people in Iraq on the news every single night. They get a green light and they're out on the street. Oh, yeah, let's shoot a gun in the air.
Wow.
Isn't it unbelievable how much firepower goes up in the sky over there?
There doesn't seem to be an understanding of what goes up must come down.
I know. Sure. So you are hunted in the Hitcher? Tell me how it works for folks who maybe don't know the story, didn't see the original. What happens in the Hitcher?
Yeah, the original was made in 86, and we decided since it was such a great, you know, classic cult horror film, but had all of these things in its story that are no longer feasible.
Right. That debate about Reaganomics, for instance, you cut that whole scene right out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And who picks up hitchhikers anymore? And,
True. You
know, odd little moments. So we really got to change the story to make it work now, but obviously we totally pay homage to the original because it was incredible.
So you and your dude pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah, well,
right.
We're leaving college, you know, senior year, going on our last spring break, kind of our last hurrah. And on this massive road trip we're taking, we almost hit a guy who is on the side of the road, who's broken down. And, you know, the initial kind of male-female debate starts about, like, do we pick him up, do we not? And he's like, I mean, God, we almost ran the guy over. And I'm like, I don't care. He's a friggin' stranger.
Right, yeah.
We're not picking him up. So, you know, a ways down the road, we stop to get gas. Everything's great. And, of course, up pulls the guy. He's been picked up by a trucker. And through a really interesting scene with a hilarious clerk, he basically is like, "Why? This is that guy that you asked me to call a tow truck for. You should just take him to the motel up the road."
Uh-oh.
And you feel like a total, you know, ass.
If you don't do it.
And we're like, yeah, that was almost us. We almost killed you.
Okay, all right, we'll give you a ride.
All right, we'll give you a ride. And,
hilarity ensues.
I mean, Sean Bean is just so incredible because he's so charming. And who doesn't want to give Sean Bean a ride? And then, you know, 10 minutes into this car trip, he just turns. And let me tell you, when the cameras are rolling, he goes from being the nicest, most soft-spoken, articulate man to being this maniacal animal with superhuman strength.
Nice. I'm getting creeped out just listening to you describe that, by the way.
But at least your character didn't say, I told you so. I do have one clip from the movie, and this is you and the boyfriend arguing about the picking up of the hitchhiker.
We should have gone home when we had the chance.
Oh, come on. Don't blame this on me, all right? It's not my fault.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Why'd you have to offer the guy a ride?
I didn't offer him a ride. He asked for one. Right, that stupid hit clerk brought it up.
And you agree?
Yeah. Well, what else was I supposed to do? How was I supposed to know he was a sick lunatic?
You could have just listened to me.
Boom.
Oh, that's the way it's going
to
be.
Nag, 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 nag. What I
I say you never listen.
Jeez, get off his ass, Sophia. You pick up one serial killer, all of a sudden you're a bad guy.
You're the bad guy.
I mean, we leave a wake of bodies behind us, and I still don't have a right to be pissed.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the problem. That's why women are no goddamn good. Bitch.
How can you sit in this room and say that?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm the one with the shotgun.
Well, that's a good point, right?
That is a good point.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stick around for a little bit more?
Yeah,
The Hitcher is the movie, by the way. It looks awesome. You've been hearing a lot about it. Sophia Bush, one of the stars. We'll talk some more about that. And, of course, some One Tree Hill when we get back right after this in the world famous K-Rock.
Keep listening for your chance to qualify for that trip for two to see Muse in Hong Kong.
Blah, 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 blah. Sophia Bush is here.
Oh. The Muse. Who cares? Just saying.
Sophia, you like
quite the noise.
I'm sorry.
It?
Can I hear your version of the noise?
I want you to do it again,
Mike.
What? Huh? Okay, hold
do
on.
It again.
I'll set it up. I'll set it up, and you'll see how it works with Mike.
Take two.
So it's Kevin and Bean Show Thursday morning, 8:28. Actor Sophia Bush is here.
Wow, that was a much bigger noise.
Yeah, and scarier, wasn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, you want that coming from behind you? That's what I have every day.
Wow.
The Hitcher is the movie. It comes out tomorrow. The K-Rock screening that we gave away tickets to last week is tonight at the ArcLight. I hear you might be there. Are you going to the screening tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to get to stop by there for
awesome.
A little bit.
Awesome. And then you're going over to our pal Jimmy Kimmel's.
I am.
Which is going to be big fun. Have you done his show before?
I have not.
Big
so
fun.
I think we're going to have a good time.
My favorite memory of Sophia Bush's interview today, which I'm already trying to archive in my mind so I never forget it.
You already have
I do. I've already got a spot carved out in my brain to remember this forever.
Okay.
Was it
when you asked her if she shot her own dog's eye out? Was that your moment?
That wasn't my moment.
That's
no.
The one that's going to stick with you forever.
My moment is a little Mexican kid whose face I haven't seen in a year poked his head in the door to go, "Hi, Sophia. I'm a really big fan of the CW.
Yeah, Dave the King of Mexico, who never comes into the studio,
by the way. I don't think I've ever seen him in this room before.
But he was very smooth in that he said, "Oh, Sophia Bush is here?
Oh, what a surprise. I did not even realize it." I've been watching the CW forever, for longer than anybody else. Does that happen to you all the time, Sophia? I mean, I imagine you got to have a lot of people that want to get to know you, that want to meet you.
You know, for the most part, we've got really, really respectful, really excited fans, but... Yeah, every once in a while you need some security because there are some people who are like, you know, you shake their hand and they won't let go. And it's like, oh, okay, that's great. I appreciate it.
There's two or three of them in this building, by the way.
And there's one in this room. You're at the point in your career where you're now famous enough where you, and you, of course, you have lived through the tabloid nightmare for a year and you know what that's like. I mean, is it something that is oppressive to you, or is it something that's manageable? Is it something you have to think about?
You know, it's pretty manageable. It's something I definitely have to think about. You know, I realized I'm at a point where I could never go on vacation by myself.
Yeah. Right.
Which is kind
of, that sucks,
kind
huh?
of a bummer. But, you know, I don't eat at the Ivy, and I don't, you know, shop on Robertson. Cause
there are ways to avoid it.
Yeah, it's like I'm not going to go where I attract the attention. I got nabbed coming out of LAX right after New Year's, and the paparazzi guy goes, "You're really hard to find." And I was like, well, duh. I'm like, that's kind of the point, man. Like, I really appreciate that you have a job to do and all, but I don't see why readers of your magazines need to know what I eat for lunch. Yeah. That's weird.
I so agree with you. And we've had this conversation many times. I mean, I love that you get to act since that's what you love to do, but there is a downside to it that I would not wish on anyone.
You know, it's an interesting thing. There comes a point where people kind of think that you're their property, and I've had people just like stick cameras in my face, and you know, for the most part, you kind of grin and bear it, but there have been some moments where people have really crossed the line, and I'm like, dude, I'm not a zoo animal.
Right.
Like, I get that, you know, you bring me into your home every week on TV, or you go and see my movies, and I appreciate that so much, but just say hi. Like,
right,
ask for a picture, dude. Don't just stick a camera in my face. That's so creepy.
That doesn't give people all access?
not really? All access there.
Okay.
But,
let's talk about your day job for a minute, because I know there are a lot of people listening who are excited. One Tree Hill has been on for how long now?
This is our fourth
seasons already. Wow.
Yeah.
And do you feel, I mean, everybody was worried when the CW, you know, sprung up, and what shows are going to make it and what shows aren't. I mean, has there ever been a time where you thought we're in trouble?
Oh, absolutely. We didn't get our pickup for the CW until 2 days before they announced the pickups. We almost got canceled.
Oh, kidding.
So there was that
moment.
We're just
effing around with you at that point.
Yeah.
I mean,
on. I mean, there was a time where we were definitely done.
Were they rock, paper, scissors each other with 2 days to go? Well, wasn't it down to like you and Everwood? It was one of those kind of deals where they had to decide like only one of them can make the schedule?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
And, you know, we got lucky. We had some great advertisers season 3 who paid the network a whole bunch of money, and we're back.
Wow. Were you worried that that was going to happen? I mean, or was it? Was there some part of you that said, well, if it's time, it's time. There's other stuff I can do.
You know, I think for me, there's always a pro and con. It's like it's a family there, and it's kind of like going away to college. You know, we've had four really great years. If we get another one, we get another one, and that's amazing. And
right.
if we're done at the same time, you know, I grew up here. I'm an LA kid. I miss my family and I miss being home. So, you know, if for whatever reason they don't bring us back, then I can, you know, chill out and steal food from my mom.
Yeah. Sophia says this, by the way, until The Hitcher does $20 million this weekend. And then she's next Monday. She's like, you've got to get me off this show. She's calling her agent going, seriously, this show sucks.
Hitcher 2.
Hitcher 2.
Hitcher more.
All right. Well, we're unfortunately out of time, Sophia. But it was very kind. Sophia said during the commercials, by the way, growing up in Pasadena, listening to K-Rock her whole life, it's fun for her to be here. And it's equally fun for us to have you come in.
I really appreciate it.
I hope we can do it again.
The guy who offered to be your Mexican sex slave?
Yes.
Get a good look at him because he lives in the area.
He does live in Pasadena. Okay.
And you might want to just alert security.
Great. I'll keep my eyes open.
Okay. Put him on the no-fly list or whatever you got to do. And go see The Hitcher. Again, Sophia Bush stars on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. The Hitcher opens everywhere tomorrow. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, guys, thank you.
Can't get Sophia Bush out of here quick enough with being in rare form today.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Rare form.
Was it me? It was the king. He's the one you got to watch.
The king was nothing compared to you.
King was Cary Grant compared to how you were behaving.
I have a TV. I could watch our show on my TV, and I do.
I think tomorrow we're going to go through the interview, and we're going to point out Bean's oddities.
Oh, it wasn't that.
On and off the air, by the way.
King of Mexico was Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Compared to how you were behaving.
It's 8:42 on the Kevin and Bean Show. I just sensed a mutual attraction and decided to play it up. That's all. Hey, what about this American Idol? This new, it's some sort of reality show? Kids Sing? What's the story,
nobody's
Ralph?
Nobody's watching. Nobody's watching this show. Monster numbers. It got 37 million viewers in the premiere episode at the beginning. By the end of the 2 hour episode, 42 million people were watching.
God, I hate
this
show.
A lot of people were watching. Last night was the second part of it. First night was in Minneapolis. The second night, last night's auditions were from Seattle, which is the freak capital of the world.
That's where Simon was making comments from, what, a month ago or something, saying it's the worst.
When they were filming it, he came forward to the press there in Seattle and said, this is the worst batch of contestants we've ever had. 10,000 people. They found, like, what, 12?
Well, they found 7 the first day and 7 the second
14.
Day. So the morning of the second day of auditions, he said, yeah, Seattle's horrible. We're never coming back. There's no talent here.
I said it was horrible. Before I get to the clips, I want to read a real quick email from Tom. It says, Ralph, you know, through 4 hours of AI so far, I've seen every soul-crushed, dejected contestant get the extra practical joke of trying to leave through a locked door.
That was funny.
Every time someone, they've got double doors, and one of them is locked shut and the other one's open, invariably these people, after they've just been destroyed, will walk face first into a locked door that they can't open.
Why didn't they unlock it?
Because it's
other
funny.
Door. Over and over again.
Watch, if you tape or saw Jimmy Kimmel last night, he cut together one after another after another after another of the person going to the wrong door, then the right door, then the wrong door, then the right door.
It's not bad enough. They've been humiliated for tens of millions. Now they crash into a door which has panic hardware, and I'm sure the fire department can't be too happy with that. Ralph, you're the only one who can bring this out. Fox exploits this as a little extra joke, but John Bender from The Breakfast Club had a point about violating fire codes and endangering the lives of children.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we learn anything from Great White? Thanks, Tom.
Wow.
So thanks, Tom, for that email. You made me laugh.
That was funny.
All right, let's take a look at the Seattle auditioners. Last night was a young lady. I forget her proper name, but she went by the nickname The Hotness.
Yes. And no one is less hot than her.
Of course.
She called herself The Hotness.
I am The Hotness.
She claimed that she was given that nickname in high school because she was hot.
Sure.
She had a spicy personality and she was hot, and they called her The Hotness.
Right.
Well, The Hotness was ready to perform last night.
Today's the big day. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to deliver the hotness, and it's going to go good.
It's going to go good. By the way, no one's ever been whiter than this girl, but no one talks blacker. She's like that broad from Flavor of Love.
Yep. Yes.
Buck Wild.
And by the way, plenty of hotness to go around. She's got a lot of it. She's got many pounds of hotness, I'll tell you that.
Called her the hugeness. She sang I Want Your Love by Tenderoni.
I don't even know that song.
I don't either, but I love it. I love the name, and I want to get a Tenderoni CD right now. Sounds like something you eat with sauce out of a can. I just had the Tenderonis.
And don't enjoy particularly.
Here's her singing I Want Your Love.
Baby, I want your love. I need your love.
No, we're not going to give you any love.
No. Well, the hotness is incensed.
Of course.
That they would possibly, first of all, cut her off mid-song and then they don't think she's freaking genius.
They weren't giving the hotness props that the hotness deserved.
So she wants to sing another song.
Can I keep on going?
No. No. Jennifer, the song was all over the place. You were all over the place. It's a terrible audition.
Opinion don't mean none.
Then why are you here?
Opinion don't mean none.
Then why are you here?
Because you don't leave no stone unturned.
Then why are you here?
What you know about music?
Well, why are you here?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Nice! She so turned it on him.
Yeah, why are you
Did
here?
Did he start sweating and say, no.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
Well, he should have said.
Clearly, Simon Cowell knows nothing about music. He has no kind of track record.
Even if she thinks that, it's obvious why he's there.
Opinion don't mean nothing.
He's the judge of American Idol. Has been for years now. That's why he's there.
He really has more of a right to be there than she does.
Opinion don't mean nothing.
What?
Opinion don't mean nothing. Shut up, white hotness girl.
It turns out on this show, his opinion is quite important.
Everything. Well, she was still fuming when she left the building, and this cracks me up.
I think I love the hotness
because I have no idea what she's talking about here.
He don't know about music. He don't know anything. I don't even know why he's a judge. He has no taste. He probably listens to that backcountry Englishman sheep stuff, so I really don't care.
What? He listens to that backcountry Englishman sheep stuff. That's the kind of music he likes.
That's a very popular brand of music.
It's got its whole section at Amoeba Records is dedicated to the backcountry English sheep music.
What is she talking about?
No one knows. She's the hotness.
Do you think she meant country? I mean, she has to have meant something.
Backcountry Englishman sheep stuff. That's what she meant. Oh, it just got better from there. A young man came on to audition. This was the most moving performance of the evening for me. He sang a ballad that is entitled Die, 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 My Darling.
Oh, I like it.
Die, die, die! My darling, don't utter a single word. Die, die, die! My darling, just shut your pretty eyes. Yeah, he scared everyone out there. He was out of his tree.
By the way, he was one of about 12 guys last night that reminds you that Seattle is the serial killer capital of the United States.
Trust
there were guys
me.
Who had
it really is.
In the glint in their eye, you could tell that if they had a knife, they would take care of it right there.
Scariest mother effers you've ever seen in
if
your life.
If there's ever a sex story with animals, it comes from the state of Washington.
That's true, too.
About 95% of the time.
I would have brought the cops in and said, that's your Green River killer right there. Yep. Die, 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 my darling. That's the guy. Well, it's not just the killer, serial killer capital of the world. It also seems to be the geek capital of the world.
Oh, sure.
And we met Nick Zitzman.
Zitzman.
I'm not kidding you. Nick Zitzman is a computer programmer from Utah, and he's the biggest geek ever.
What are you saying?
Biggest geek ever.
My name is Nick Zitzman, and I am a 27-year-old software engineer from Midvale, Utah, and that is near the Salt Lake City area. I'm sorry. Let me try that again, because it's not near the Salt Lake City area. It's in the Salt Lake area. Okay.
Silly me, how can I make that error? Can I go again? Take two.
Do you expect everybody to bust up laughing?
Nick Zitzman, yeah. Oh, how did I make that mistake?
Oh, my God.
Well, Nick decides he's going to cozy up to Simon by singing his favorite song. Are you familiar with Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers?
Sure.
Classic.
Kind of.
Classic.
How does it go?
Classic. Oh, my love, my darling, okay, I hunger right. for your touch.
Yeah.
Here's Nick Zitzman's version.
And time can do so much. Are you still mine?
I don't believe that people like that are for real.
It's the self-deluded, my friends. The people with no awareness whatsoever of themselves or the world around them.
And they're shocked when they're not put through.
Stunned and rattled to the core. Next up along the geek parade was Kenneth, who Simon said looked like a bush baby. Are you familiar with those? They're like lemurs with giant eyes that hang off of trees.
Yeah, and they scream like babies.
That's what this kid looked like. And but Kenneth thought he for sure was going to be the next American Idol.
Do you honestly think you can win this competition?
I know full heartedly, Simon, that I could win this thing, make it to the final two, win it, and make you drop your mouth in shock.
Ooh, I love it, man.
He's going to drop his mouth.
Can you do that?
I think so.
Can you drop your mouth?
That's a moment with Kenneth right there.
But, Rob, he knows full-heartedly.
Full-heartedly he knows to make you drop your mouth. Well, here's Kenneth doing a little NSYNC number. Let's see if he makes it.
If you want me, girl, let me know. I am down on my knees. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, nor can I.
No, sure.
I don't know how those people can keep going when they start laughing in the middle of it. The judges are laughing.
He just had blinders on. He was a deer in the headlights.
Wow.
He was about 4'1" with these giant eyes and a giant bulbous head. He looked like a creature, like a space creature.
He did.
Wow.
Then they had this 6'7" girl come in.
6'7" girl?
Yes. Beautiful black girl, 6'7" in heels.
No kidding.
And she could really, really sing. They put her through. But the beauty of it was they gave the editors and the producers of American Idol an opportunity to show all a montage of the insults of people calling Ryan Seacrest short.
Oh, fantastic.
Because she was so tall, he said, let's look at how short Ryan is in comparison.
You're kind of short.
And you're charming.
You're kind of short, and, you know, I'm kind of short, too.
So well, I'm not kind of short. You're short. I'm average.
We're the same height.
We're not the same height. I'm taller.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
You're short. Here's what I like. These are contestants on a show. They're going to try and get the approval, and yet they have no respect for Ryan whatsoever. They don't try to brown nose him.
Mocking him at will.
Get it on his good side.
You're short.
No, I'm not. I'm average. Just mock him.
Because they realize the success of American Idol has as much to do with Ryan as it did with Brian Dunkelman on the first season.
Yeah.
Which
That's
is
why
to
I
say
it.
None. Ryan doesn't really carry any weight on that show.
Right.
One of the most popular songs to audition with last night seemed to be Don'tcha by the Pussycat Dolls.
Sure.
Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me?
Sure.
So here's a little medley of some of the different versions we got exposed to last night.
Don't you want your girlfriend to be hot like me?
Don't you wish your girlfriend... Don't you wish your boyfriend was raw like me?
Raw like me. No, freak like me.
No, raw like me. No, freak like me. This Russian dude, he was just announcing it, pretty much. That's all he had going for him.
Every time I hear that song, I think of Heineken. I see that Heineken bottle at TV commercial. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to drink.
And lastly, that's your reaction to most things, though, isn't it, Kevin? Lastly, we met Stephen Red Thone. Stephen Thone is about 14 feet tall,
right.
About 900 pounds,
oh.
With just the reddest hair you've ever seen, and a big bushy red beard. He looked like a Viking, is what he looked like, basically.
Yes.
The scariest dude you'd ever want to meet in your life. He looked like a lumberjack who would kill you, then eat you.
And the kind of guy
not in that order.
Who pauses before every answer and stares you down as if you now think, that's it, I've said the one thing that's going to make him kill me.
He gives you that thousand-yard stare. This dude was scary. And he had never really seen the show, wasn't really familiar with it.
I love that. That's my man.
But thought somehow that he should enter the competition. And Simon actually asked him about that.
Hey, Stephen, why did you enter this competition?
I like competition.
He just likes competition.
Any competition.
Anything. I get a sense if you opened up the doors, to any sort of professional sporting event or whatever, he would like to compete.
Try out for the NBA?
Exactly.
Going to be the latte making contest? Whatever, he'll be there.
Stephen said people compared his voice most frequently to Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen.
Oh, sure.
One of the great rock voices in history.
Yeah, ever.
And to cement that comparison, he chose to sing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, one of the most difficult songs ever.
You remember that from Wayne's World, of course, a classic rock song.
Yeah.
Here's a little of Stephen Red Thone.
Is this the real life? Or is this just fantasy?
Come on.
Call it a landslide. No escape from reality.
The best part at the end of the song, it keeps going and going, and Paula and Randy are on the floor. Simon's got a perfectly straight face, and he pauses, and Simon goes, "Carry on." And the other thing goes, "Carry on." So the song ends miserably, and of course they all say, "Go away." And this guy's incensed. He said, "Look, I with a little training and a little coaching, if you just take me to Hollywood, I'll work with your voice coach there, and I'll be the American Idol. I will knock your socks off." And he said, "Simon, you coach me." He started being furious at Simon.
He looks like a guy who's used to getting what he wants.
Yeah. And Simon tried to reason with him and explain to him why even Simon couldn't coach him to be a winner.
It would be like coaching a one-legged man to win the 100-meter sprint. You know, I may be a great coach, but if you haven't got it, you haven't got it.
Hey, the way I see it, don't be about it. Or don't, hey, don't sing about it, be about it. All right, don't sing it, just bring it, all right?
This is just ridiculous, if you don't mind me saying.
What in God's name is he trying to say?
No one knows. No one knows.
There is...
Hey, don't sing.
Can't.
Don't sing about it. Bring about it. What? Don't sing it. Bring it. What?
They're definitely never going back to Seattle. That's no. It. That was nail in the coffin.
Then they shot Red with a tranquilizer dart. Struck him from the room.
Dragged him out.
Oh, it's the best show on television.
Only when they have the bad guys, though.
Right? Always.
Oh.
There is no substitute for Bush.
Oh, I miss Sophia, too. Don't you guys miss Sophia Bush? I do.
I was so uncomfortable with your conversation with
her.
She's
so delightful.
Well, you had it on both sides. It's Psycho Mike doing all the sounds, right. And then you had Bean being all creepy.
I was more worried about Psycho Mike. Bean was way worse today.
She was on so fire. Pretty and
I was
so nice.
Reserved, guys.
Psycho Mike said to me, and you were worried about me at one point, because Bean...
Hey, which eye did your dog lose?
He did. Left or right?
Which,
and I
which
thought...
Which one was it?
How can that possibly be of interest to anyone?
What'd you do with the eye? You still
then
have
he followed
it
up which eye was it with how did it lose the eye? Well, there's good times. There's only funny answers for that question.
Nothing a pet owner would rather talk about, by the way, than a disfigurement of a beloved animal.
And he closed out his show with infertility humor.
Yeah. Well, forgive me for being here. Curious. That's all I have to say. Well,
maybe one of your stray bullets. Let's put the dog's eye out.
You blamed it on her.
Maybe that happened.
Wow.
You still have the eye.
So, did I blow my one chance with Sophia Bush?
No, I think she dug you.
Yeah, I'm sure
Ralph
she's in love. With the showbiz beat, besides American Idol, what else is going on in the world, Ralph?
Well, let's not ignore American Idol just yet, shall we?
Okay.
Have you seen the interview with Paula Abdul on Seattle Morning Television?
Yes.
It's spectacular.
Talking about how Seattle was awful, and it was, promoting the debut of the American Idol show. But if you didn't get a chance to see it, it's all over YouTube and everything else. Here's a little taste.
Good morning, everybody!
She can hear us.
So tell us, what are you looking forward to this season?
How about a lot of you coming in? It's a wild party where you are.
That's what we hear.
She's loaded.
Wow.
Or
something, yeah.
How about a lot of you coming in?
How about a lot of you?
What does that mean?
It's a wild party where you are.
I think...
Bring it! Don't sing it!
I think, Kevin, what she meant is we're having auditions in Seattle, so I'm looking forward to a lot of you, meaning viewers, people in Seattle, coming in to audition.
She was talking to the anchors.
She was talking to the anchors, yeah. Clearly didn't make sense.
Anyway, Ellen DeGeneres asked her about that yesterday, about the appearance, saying, what are you all, hopped up on goofballs? And she said, no, the problem was there was a bad sound mix, and she had two different feeds in her ears, and that created a feeling like she was in her own little world.
I'm going to use that.
You should, next time you're pulled over.
Bad sound mix.
Have you been drinking, sir? No, I've got two sound feeds in my head. I'm out of the world.
Yeah, she's something. She needs to join our girl Lindsay Lohan at Wonderland Center, I think.
Do you think they haven't let her go because if it ain't broke, don't fix it, Ralph? Why screw with the formula for whatever reason?
She's spectacular. Watching her be awful.
Yeah.
She's becoming a bit of an embarrassment, though. Lindsay Lohan, speaking of embarrassing... just announced she has checked herself into Wonderland Center. That's a rehab center here in Los Angeles. Yesterday at 2:30, she showed up. Lindsay's statement was released by her publicist yesterday. I have made a proactive decision to take care of my personal health. I appreciate your well wishes and ask that you please respect my privacy at this time. Nah, it'll never happen.
No.
The New York Post says one of the reasons she may have checked herself in was she was partying after the Golden Globes at Prince's after party. She was apparently going to about 6 a.m. and was later found passed out in the hotel hallway.
Yes.
I'm just hoping it was in a puddle of her own sick as well. Aww. That would make the perfect mental image for
that
me.
That would, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so terrific. Her hair all damp with her own vomit. That's what I'm talking about. That'd be good times.
What do you mean, yeah?
Awesome.
And while she was passed out, someone drew on her with a Sharpie and doused her with a fire extinguisher all over her crotch. Just keeps getting better the more I talk about it.
Yes, it
the
does.
Visual in my head.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Think she'll come on the show anytime soon?
Sure.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian, friends of Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan and Nicole Richie, that whole gang. Yesterday, she denied the rumor that she and Brandi Norwood's brother, Ray J, were shopping around a sex tape for pay-per-view viewing on the internet or on DVD. TMZ.com, our favorite website for entertainment news, did say that Kim did not deny the tape exists. She's just denying that it's going to be released on the market.
Well, release it.
Really? What else do you have to do with your life?
What's the use of having it?
And America demands more Ray J. That's all I know. Right.
I know that's a fact.
I never heard of Ray J before this week, and Ralph has mentioned him 25 times. It's all Ray J all the time. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kevin Costner, actor, director, is 52 years old today. Jesse L. Martin. You know him as Detective Ed Green over there on Law & Order, the original one. He's 38 years old today. DJ Quick turns 37, and Jonathan Davis, singer for Korn, is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got to take care of some business here because there's hate in the room.
Well, tell me who this chick is, because I don't like her much either, but I don't know anything about her.
I know very little about her. Rachel Ray is her name. She has probably 10 of the best-selling cookbooks of the last 2 years on the bestsellers list. She's enormously popular. She had a show on the Food Network that was very popular.
And then she
got picked up, and now she has her own nationally syndicated daytime show that I think airs at like 10 in the morning or something like that.
I saw like one news piece on her. I don't know if it was I don't remember what it was, but she just struck me as annoying.
Very annoying. She didn't look annoying at all to me. She just looked so fake.
She's
average,
a little overly perky.
I was annoyed.
She does have a little bit of the Kelly Ripa overly perky kind of
a little
chick.
Bit. What's wrong with
but
you?
But she's so small on my radar. Like, yes. I don't have any clue who she is or where she came from. You say she's on the Food Network. I never watched that. I don't know anything about her. She just struck me that one time as being annoying. Omar, who's in the studio now, is obsessed with, he's being eaten alive by hatred for her.
I don't know what it is. I have never seen her talk for more than a minute. I didn't even know she was on the Food Network. Just, she came into my life a year ago, and the second I saw her on TV, I couldn't turn off the TV fast enough. She sickens me.
Here's how.
I hate Dane Cook, okay? But the reason I hate him is because he's not funny. Mm-hmm. And he's hugely successful and popular in comedy, yet he's not funny. What is it that Rachel Ray has that burns
just
you?
Just the way she... Okay, I'm so cute, but I'm not skinny, but I'm not too fat, so everybody will like me. Just shut up.
She doesn't say any of those things.
I wouldn't know because I don't listen to her.
that's the sentiment coming through whatever word she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's how this came into my life. I saw a Wheat Thins box with holes cut in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in God's name is this? Why would anybody cut holes in a box?
Yeah,
besides Psycho Mike, and we know why he would do that.
Right.
And I found out that it was Omar because Rachel Ray's picture was on a box of Wheat Thins.
Yeah.
And he tried to take them back to the store because he was outraged that Rachel Ray was on the box of Wheat Thins.
You didn't want to have that box in your house?
No, yeah. I was pretty upset at my girlfriend from bringing it into my house.
Went back to the store, talked to the manager, tried to return them.
Tried to get a box from, like, in the back. You know, I went and made him go check in the back, see if they had, you
get
know,
like
something.
Get, like, an Osama bin Laden box or something that's less offensive.
Something.
Wheat Thins, fine. Picture of her, offensive. So much so that he went back to the store to ask for a refund.
I want to make sure I understand. One of the reasons you hate her is because she's not too fat and she's not too thin. She's just kind of average build.
No, that's,
how do you hold that against her?
She does it for a reason, dude. And I know she's got some sort of sick secret that she, like, kicks puppies in the dark and she eats babies. There's something wrong, dude. No.
So he can't return the box of Wheat Thins, so he cuts out the picture of her face on four different sides of the box. You can see there's a picture up at the krock.com. Go to the Kevin and Bean sites page. There's a picture of Omar with the box, and he cut it, and he didn't do this, like, as a bit. He did it out of rage.
Oh, yeah, and then every time I go into, like, a bookstore and I see her books or whatever, I'll turn them around so they don't face with her face.
Do the eyes follow you?
Yeah, it bugs me. All right, one time I was at a Circuit City and her show was on, and I just, you know, I talked to the whoever was working there, and I made him change the channel on all the TVs.
On all of them?
Because I was in the store.
All right, let's say good morning to Chris in Hollywood. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, nephew.
We're not quite at that segment, but tell us about Rachel Ray. I don't know anything about her.
I live with my girlfriend. We've been living together for 3 years, and she's been watching her for a while. And I don't usually watch cooking shows because I don't cook. And I started watching her, and she is so incredibly hot.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? Hang up on this guy.
I used to love Omar. I thought he was so awesome. I felt so bad for him, but now I realize he's an idiot.
Well, I hate you.
She's not... I wouldn't go hot.
So far as to say she's hot, but she's an attractive, I guess.
No. Chris, if your picture was on Wheat Thins, Omar would cut your face out.
You're dead to me.
Hey, Kevin Amin, I heard you guys talking about how Omar hates Rachel Ray. This email from Dave begins, I want to let you know that I firmly stand behind him. I can't stand her face either. I saw the Wheat Thins box at the grocery store and informed my wife we would not buy Wheat Thins anymore until she was taken off the box. I searched through the boxes to find an older one without her stomach-turning head on it. How can I eat crackers with that doughy Quasimodo looking back at me? I hate her with the power of a thousand suns. Tell Omar I'm on his side. There's nothing wrong with his behavior. I would like to start a movement to rid the planet of this obnoxious jelly roll.
That's what I'm talking about.
We got this on the Afro line.
Omar, you are so right. Rachel Ray is a
But the point is that Kevin makes is, why is a woman that we barely know exists, how did she become elevated to terror cell that Jack Bauer needs to be called
in on? She's not even on the radar.
Just rubs me the wrong way. But I don't know what it is about her.
All right. Andrew at Pasadena is another guy who tried to return the box because she was on it.
No. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, dead serious. My ex-girlfriend and I, we always used to buy the Wheat Thins. And she came home with them one day, and she came home with two boxes, and one had the face, and one didn't. And I can't stand Rachel Ray.
Why?
I love cooking, and I watch the Food Network all the time. I've seen her show. She makes me want to throw up. First of all, she's not a cook, but she has shows on the Food Network talking about $40 a day, and she has these awful responses to everything she eats. You know, she'll eat something, she goes, that's tasty. And it only cost me $5.
Oh, God.
But isn't that what people who are watching cooking shows want? Is something you can make that's cheap and
something
tastes
about
good?
Her that's instantly annoying.
Something that you can make. She goes to different towns and tells you how you can live on $40 a day in each different town.
Super whore, by the way.
The beach, like, yeah, right.
Our assistant producer, Super Whore, says that Oprah discovered her, too. So that's like strike one, two, and three right
the guy
there.
Who called, who said she's hot, should be fired immediately.
From dialing the phone?
Does that work for us?
We can't fire a phone caller.
Life.
All right, fire from life. Okay.
All right, let's take one more. Let's go down to Huntington Beach. We've got Eric on the line who also would like to weigh in. Apparently, there's a big Rachel Ray controversy brewing in this country that I was not aware of. I thought Al-Qaeda was the enemy. Apparently, no, it's Rachel Ray.
I hate RachelRay.com coming soon.
Oh, really? Nice, Omar. Eric in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Rachel Ray, I didn't know she existed until Omar cut out her picture on the box.
Oh, she is the most annoying person on the planet. My sister TiVos her show every effing day and makes me watch it.
She can't make you watch it? Wait a minute, Eric. She can't make you watch the show?
I come home from work and that crap is always on.
What, you don't have legs?
It never comes off the TV.
Is she more annoying, seriously, than Joan Rivers, for instance?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
She
can't
quite say that, but she makes up her own language that doesn't make any sense.
You know, like Joan Rivers and Rosie, it's like a train wreck. You know, you can't wait to see where the hell this goes. With some reason,
it's clearly bad.
Yeah, no. Her is just nothing. It's just all sweet and non-offensive and just be real. It's just that's, like, it's, you know, fake. What that, it's too freaking fake.
That's what annoyed me about her. You put your finger on she instantly to me she seemed fake.
Yeah,
she was very Rick Dees-esque, where she just is full of hype and no substance.
It's nonstop 100% of the time. It's
why do you have to hate what you don't understand?
Omar, Amy and Tustin says, have you tried her recipe? She's helping working moms.
Shut up!
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was a moment with Kevin.
That's hard. That's just some creative editing.
No, that's the problem.
That's purely creative editing. You
over
guys
there
with your editing.
Is not anymore, right?
Tell him we're just over there's not anymore, right?
But you can't put two like that together that were completely separated. Like,
I don't believe they were.
They were right on top of each other.
You guys are so funny.
They were making the beast with two backs, those statements.
9:53, time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067, you get on the air, you get a prize.
Let's see. Everyone's loving the hell out of season 6 of the new 24 season, which just began, as you know. I still think it's remarkable. I've never heard them do this before, but the first 4 episodes that have already aired to kick off this season are already available on DVD.
It seems wrong somehow.
Isn't it kind of weird, though?
But I like it that they're on iTunes, because they're doing that with, like, Heroes as well. As every week, right after the show, they'll put it up on iTunes.
If you don't see Heroes, it's your own fault, because they rerun it on Bravo, and then I think it's on MSNBC, and I think they take it to your house, and they leave it on your front door. They've got it iTunes. They'll pipe it right into your brain, and they'll put a coaxial cable in your skull. You can see it everywhere.
It's a great time for television, because if you miss it, you do have some backup options, that's for sure. So here's the deal with Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. The complete first five seasons of Fox's hit show 24 on DVD for you today, just for being on the air with us this morning.
Wow.
So it's a good deal.
All right, let's start with Sean and Tarzana. Sean, good morning.
What to do, nephew?
Well, what to do, nephew?
So you guys were talking about Rachel Ray earlier, and, you know, she makes me sick, but a couple, I guess maybe a year back, she had a spread in FHM where they had her dressed up in a French maid outfit.
I'm looking at
it. Made my eyes burn.
I'm looking at the pictures of that FHM. They did a lot of airbrushing on her.
Fine. She looks adorable, though.
She had to airbrush her whole belly out of that.
These pictures are pretty good comparatively. Yeah. I mean, she does have a giant stomach compared to this.
She's just really annoying. On a show, she always says lame one-liners like yummo. She calls olive oil EVOO, extra virgin olive oil. Every time she says, I'm using EVOO,
listen,
I have to say, oh, that stands for extra virgin olive oil.
Listen, anybody that calls a sandwich a Sammy?
Yeah.
I'm out.
That's annoying.
I'm out.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Sean. Is Omar taking it too far that he wants a fatwa against her? I mean, he really is offering to pay a ransom if someone will take her out. Don't you think that's extreme in his hatred for Rachel Ray?
No.
How much does Omar want for the ransom?
I don't think he wants you to kidnap her,
no,
Sean, but thank you for the offer.
I've never seen someone so innocuous just generate so much hatred.
She's not innocuous, though. She's not.
But
she's
comparatively to the people
annoying.
You could hate on television?
Mm.
Yeah, compared to Rosie O'Donnell, who it is hard to get away from because she's on all the entertainment shows. She's on the news, and she's got all these shows, and she's always speaking up.
And she's always giving her opinion. Yeah. This girl just cooks.
She just cooks.
So how much can you hate?
How much can you hate someone who has a daytime cooking show?
Super annoying. I saw her one single time, and I was annoyed instantly by her. Instantly. I don't get that reaction to most people.
Yeah.
Dan in Garden Grove, good morning.
Morning, guys. I wanted to bring up Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. That's a show.
2 years ago, I called in when you guys were still doing this at 5:45 in the morning.
Right.
I brought up this greatest show, and it's got Cylons, and they look like humans, and Cutie Trisha Helfer.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys ridiculed me and mocked me, and we reject you totally. And I was like, what?
We have never been more wrong.
But the problem is, too, you sound like kind of an a-hole.
You're a homo.
That's kind of the problem.
No, see,
if someone else had called in about the show, we might have listened.
Battlestar Galactica is a great show. It took us a long time to get on the bandwagon.
But in our defense, it was based on a super cheesy science fiction show from the 70s and 80s.
Granted, Ralph, you're right. But it is awesome.
But Dan, this is Beans speaking. I still haven't seen it. I still plan to. But what were the chances, honestly, what were the chances it was going to be good? Based on all we knew about it at that time, which is it was a remake of a freaking Lauren Green show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And talking to Dan.
Yeah, and talking to Dan.
Well, yeah, Dan's point is we should have just believed
it. It easily could have been the new Leave It to Beaver or one of those kind of shows where they try to bring something back that has no business being brought
back. So we're excusing our bad behavior.
Exactly.
Right. Based on a lot of different things.
We're rectifying it now. We're singing its praises.
Ralph, isn't the special effects just awesome?
Incredible. The fight scenes, the dog fighting scenes between the Cylon Raiders and the Vipers, it's amazing special effects. It would be amazing in a film, let alone on a TV series. It's great stuff.
And she's hot.
Yeah, when are we getting her in here, by the way?
I don't know. We got Lightning working on it. He keeps pushing me off. I don't know why. New Playboy, by the way. Pick up the new Playboy if you want to see Trisha Helfer, number 6.
Yes, I do.
Naked.
She's a robot, but she's the hottest woman in the world.
They put a robot in Playboy?
When you hump her, her spine glows.
That's true.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. Randy in Moreno Valley. Hi.
Hey, fellas. Good morning.
What's going on? What a day.
Hey, Randy.
What it be, Nephi?
What are you listening to? Is there something else in the background, or is that us?
Is that Big Boy you're listening to?
This is Mass Transit, my friend.
Mass Transit, okay. What's going on?
I was calling about Michael Vick. Another interception. He's been during the offseason. He's trying to smuggle some pot, apparently, onto a plane. He had it hidden in this water bottles that you apparently order online. It has, like, a secret compartment in it.
Really?
I like it.
Yeah, and he got stopped, and they asked him for his water bottle. I mean,
how did they take water bottles through now?
Oh, is that why?
Knows?
I was going to say, how did they know he had... Oh, you're talking about it at an airport.
Yeah, that's where
at
it is.
At an airport, exactly.
I got you. That's funny.
Well, that was stupid.
Well, yeah, he's Michael Vick. He's a great quarterback slash runner slash pot user.
But great runner.
Yeah, he's a great, great quarterback. Sometimes he is. Sometimes he's not.
Rarely.
Sometimes.
He's a fag.
Well, we're not saying that. When he runs, he's a good quarterback.
All right, Jason in Los Angeles. Hi.
What do you do, nephew? What do you do? Baby boo?
Hey, Jason.
All right, so I was watching Beauty and the Geek last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they start doing this part where they're making over the guys, trying to make them look a lot better than they, you know, normally do.
Right.
And so they played some background music. What music do I hear? You Touch My Ta-La-La.
Oh, You Touch My Ta-La-La.
They brought Gunther?
Mm, oh, yeah.
To Beauty and the Geek.
You gotta bring the Gunther.
Yep. I don't know how you turn this down.
Why? You wouldn't even have a party without the Gunther CD nearby.
You're right.
I know, I play it all the time.
I'm sure you do.
Ta-la-la.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, are we carpooling to Nick's party tomorrow? Have we made any final decisions on how that's going to work? Or
We're going to meet there.
I'm going with Kevin in the helicopter.
Window Liquor Nick is having his party, invited us.
Yeah.
We're not going to break his heart, right? We're going to be there, right?
Yeah, why don't you tell us?
Sorry, well, I mean, I can't go. I got the thing. I've got the thing to do.
Right.
But I thought maybe you guys were going.
Well, Cat Corbin's coming up next.
This is a matter of fact.
60 minutes nonstop K-Rock music.
I wish we had time for Chris and Pat, but please call back tomorrow because we'll definitely take your calls then because you're calling in with some good topics. Cat is next. Oh, before we say that, how about Sophia Bush, ladies? Stop by today. One Tree Hill airs Wednesday nights at 9 on the CW. The Hitcher is her new film that opens up tomorrow everywhere, so please go see it. Cat's next with Rage Against the Machine. Also, more from you, Smashing Pumpkins, that great new song from Stone Sour, AFI, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and of course, Gunther. All coming up right here. The world famous K-Rock.
Oh, you touched my ta-la-la.